world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail.
Hello, welcome to our Season 7, Episode 2.
Double or nothing.
Now,
let me explain.
That was a last-minute one.
Yes, it was. And also, make sure you spell it with a W. It works because if the double news hadn't sparked this, I would have nothing. So, it worked on two different levels. So I was actually pretty pleased with like the way that worked out, because I was really blanking on it, because I couldn't remember Geodger. There was nothing monumental enough about Ghost, and like the news was barren, and because I always search for some sort of event, and it's just not working.
I didn't know
the struggle is real.
I always preferred Gaim. Just saying.
What? Did that cut out for a second? I preferred Gaim.
We're broken. We've broken the show. We're one minute
I did a weird thing with my tongue there. No, you said the news was barren, and I said, "Well, I was preferred Gaim."
Oh, I just got it. There we go. Because all I heard was that I preferred Gaim, and then when I asked you about it, because you cut out, your actual stuttering sounded remarkably like cutting out, which was pretty funny. We just automatically both broke within a minute.
That seems about right.
One ups.
Par for the course. I've got a lot of stuff this week, actually. This was one of those, splurgy weeks. Please hold while I bring up my photos.
Classic Brian and blog mess around.
Let's see. I got all the Pokemon stuff last week, so that's not new. Casino is not new. I guess it starts with the Yami Yami box, I suppose. I got these really awesome and soft plushes of the three starters, and they're the Kanto starters, rather. And they're the most adorable things, and I love them so much.
I was gonna say, how did you get the Generation 7 starters? Where did you buy them? They don't sell them in my country. Sell them in my time period.
Oculus hasn't allowed it yet. Anyway, that box also had a bunch of Tamashi stuff, which is very unusual for me now, but Pikachu was in there, and Ghost was in there. Tamashi buddies of X and Zero from Mega Man were in there. That NX Edge style, or whatever that series is called, of Omnimon, which is actually a really awesome toy for the price. was in there too. Masterpiece Ratchet from Transformers. What else? Oh, my Saber Arrow, finally. After getting delayed into near non-existence, I finally have that thing, even though I reviewed it months ago. And Nendoroid Link from Majora's Mask finally came out, also after being delayed into Oblivion. But that's just pretty typical for Good Smile. It's pretty par, of course. HLJ Box had a lot of Pokemon stuff. By a lot, I mean three things, which is a lot because there was only five things in the box. But I got this really awesome Ash Greninja plush that has magnets in its arms and legs so it can hang from stuff. It's pretty great.
The only downside is it's covered in a whirlpool of water, and you can't even see it. It's just pretty obnoxious.
Well, the downside of it is that, the material that, its head crest and, the shuriken on its back are made out of is, easily bendable.
Oh.
And so when it was in the box, I pulled it out, and, the head crest is all bent, and the shuriken, is not recognizable as a shuriken.
It's just a crumpled up piece of paper that he throws.
That's basically it.
Water paper ball!
But the statue of James finally came out. I got Cube Bear and the 45 icon, little figure of Zygarde. I have a bunch of Series 2 Yokai Watch blind bags. Black and heart gold. I found those at GameStop and was like, hey, I need these.
I forgot that you only buy, like, the one version, so, like, it made sense after I thought about it.
Yeah.
I was going to say you're going to start either one, but then I remembered you're on the replay like I am, but you're kind of still on the computer, right?
Yeah.
Or two. Yeah, I forgot about that.
What am I missing? I'm missing Emerald, Pearl, and Black 2. I think those are the only games I'm missing right now.
Wait, did you never have Emerald, or did you lose it?
Emerald, I still should have. Because I know, have that one. I just no idea where it went.
Okay.
Because it's not like the others that I didn't have. I had that one. I played it, like, to hell and back. But I have no idea where it ended up.
How much were those games at GameStop?
Black was, like, 26 or something. But Heart Gold was 50.
Oh, yeah. But I saw a used Soul Silver at one of my, like, used game stores for 60. I was like, what are you smoking?
Yeah, but I had enough reward points for, like, a $25 certificate. And so I used that, and then I already had a coupon for 20% off a used game. So I got it for, like, $13.
Because I'm still on that slightly crazy idea of buying a second copy of Platinum because I don't want to restart my other one because I'm crazy. And I can't. I only found the one at the same used game store and it was, like, $50, and I don't want to spend that much on it. So I didn't even think about looking at GameStop, like, to see if they have any. Because it's not that old. I'm thinking it, like, as if an N64 game or something. So
yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's honestly just so that I'm slightly faster. And, like, everything's just a little bit faster and polished.
Anyway, that's about it, so.
I don't have that much. I finally got Uncharted 4. And, you know, when I was in the process of, you know, you gotta update it, so you have to set aside about 2 hours, mm-hmm. you know, for the system mm-hmm. update. Especially since I hadn't turned on my PS4 since before I moved. So, because I haven't played anything. Last thing I played was, I think, Arkham Knight? Oh, no, it was Infinity before I moved, because I played it. I don't know. It's been a long time. So I had to update the system and then I'll, like, download the game or whatever. But anyway, when I was trying to get the game on there, it was telling me I ran out of space, which, you know, obviously I understand games are bigger now, but it seems crazy to me that I never had this, like, sweating of, like, worrying what game saves I want to delete back when it was memory cards. Yeah. Like, I was never sitting there like, oh, well, I guess I can't buy a new PS2 game or without getting a new memory card. But now it's
like, your option was just to go buy another memory card.
Well, yeah, but even then, I never ran out of space, and now it's, like, a race to find out, like, and I think I can only buy one more PS4 game now, apparently, but anyway, so I was clearing stuff off of there, and I noticed that I had accidentally recorded a bunch of videos of me playing games, and there's a 15-minute video of me aimlessly wandering around Second Son, and I watched the whole thing, because I was trying to figure out what I was doing, and it took me, like, halfway through the video to figure out what I was doing, because I kept, like, climbing up this satellite thingy and falling, and then, like, occasionally it would dip into the territory of one of, like, the enemy camps, and they would shoot me, and helicopters would show up, and I couldn't figure out what I was doing until halfway through I realized I was trying to get that achievement where you do, like, a ground pound attack from the highest point possible. And so, yeah, I watched that, and there was also a 10-minute recording of me and Arkham Knight doing a Two-Face mission. And I realize what a sloppy stealth player I am. And that also kind of goes with Uncharted. It's like, I'll do really good for, like, three guys, and then all hell will break loose because of one mistake. And then there was also, oh, which I didn't know recorded, which I actually kept because it was kind of neat. There was a picture I took a long time ago of Black Flag of me around, like, 20 bodies. That sounds so creepy. But it was, like, to showcase, like, back before they changed the system, how easy it was to not be stealthy because of how the combat system worked. And there's actually a video of that fight, and I thought it was easier than it was. It was an intense fight. I didn't even realize I was trying to be stealthy by, like, a farm or something, and I got stabbed to death by the farm, and I, like, ran out into this, like, walkway with, like, zero health, and I fought all those guys with, like, zero health. I'm like, holy shit, I didn't realize that was such an intense fight. Like, in my mind, it was, like, this epic fight where I didn't get hit at all. But it was just funny, the idea of me basically butt dialing the PS4 and like watching like my clumsy gameplay and all these things. But that cleared off a bit. But I started Uncharted 4 and I'm like a little past halfway through and it's super fun. How far are you now?
On what? Right.
Uncharted 4, life. What level are you at in life?
Level 27. Couple hours in.
Doesn't help me. There's chapters. I'm on 15, I think. I don't know. Have you done the giant chase, the car chase through like the city and stuff?
No.
Oh, it's really fun.
I mean, I know of it because I watched it like 5 different times from different E3s.
Yeah, but it's really fun, like when you play it. But yeah, I do find that I actually quite like the story in it, but I feel like they've added a couple things, but I feel like there is some more repetitive parts. Like, I can't remember having to do that whole push a box down so many times.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of annoying. But I like the story, and, like, there's a lot of memorable moments, which is fun. But I'm having fun with that. I'm in the home stretch of Soul Silver, finally. Or Heart Gold. I just have to do... I think I'm going to catch Lugia, and then I have to beat Blue, and then... I'm debating about whether or not I'm going to do the Elite Four again or try Red. I don't think so, just because it's already taking too long with all this extra game it has, but that's where I'm at there. And other than that, honestly, not too much. I have to like start picking up a bunch of shows to watch during the summer soon. Like, I have to go through Netflix tomorrow and just add a bunch of shit because I'm going to be house-sitting and I have to have stuff to do because they don't have cable, so I need to have my Netflix queue ready. But yeah, that's about all. Just a huge ass shot of Denden sensor.
Beep up.
Take it away, McCluskey. Or not. Nobody take it. I'm actually better with that option. Option B is actually my favorite. It goes quicker. You have 4 seconds, and then we're going to the news. 1, 2, 3, and 4. There we go. And now it's time for... Wait, we don't have a jingle for the news. I forgot. Okay. So
this is unusual.
slow news day. It's there's really not much going on. There was a couple figure outs announced.
There's a ton of stuff going on, but none of it's not Toku related, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah. Figure arts. Like
the one thing I wanted to mention real quick, it's nothing important, but I just want to address the fact that it did happen. Like, there was a... I don't know if it's behind-the-scenes shot or what it is, but, like, they're refilming the ending theme for Jyojer, and there's a new dude in there that's supposed to be Jyo the World's actor, and it's not Kaiza Bird. So, that's just somewhere... I have no idea who it is. It's too fucking blurry. It's just not him.
Unidentified Japanese male.
Yeah. Narrows it down.
Could be anyone.
But yeah, okay. A bunch of figure art stuff like came out today, even though like the show's in like 2 days. It's like this weekend is Tamashii features, but they decided to like blow their load early and like put up a bunch of stuff online. Like, they showed off the new renewal
double.
Maybe he's having internet problems, I don't know. But the new double is being released.
And it looks really good.
In, like, a day. It goes up, like, tomorrow.
It's a figure that really needed it. But still, just do Kiva. Like, it's annoying now.
I know.
You're literally lapping it. It's, like, on your left to yourself. You're saying that to yourself. You're lapping yourself. But I think it looks really good. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it. I mean, I liked the double figure arts when they're out, but it's not until you see them that you realize how much better it could have been.
Yeah.
I think it's, we talked about
like
it
the,
before.
It's kind of like the Kuga figure.
Yeah, because that was one of my very first figure arts, too. I'm like, damn, this is a good-looking figure. And then I look at him now, I'm like, you gawky trash. And, like, I skipped Kuga at the time thinking I'll get him later, and now he's, like, super expensive everywhere. That's why I'm going to get double, too, just because, like, he looks good, and also I don't want to have that skipping regret. But I think we talked about this one of the last times we talked about the renewal figures. I don't remember if it was recorded or not, but Wizard, even though it's like 2 years ago or whatever, he needs one because it's awful. Especially since, I mean, the figure arts for the newer series have been iffy for sure, but Wizard was like a weirdly really bad pocket, because like Forze base dates was pretty good, and then after Wizard, like Gaim On has been pretty good too. So it's like he was just weirdly like this Pinocchio, giant footed, giant headed weirdo. Like, he needs the renewal. I bet he'll get it before Kiva.
The entire lineup will get. Like, Ryuki and Blade will get redone before Kiva.
And Ryuki doesn't need it.
I know. Blade doesn't either.
No, they're Blade just such was good just figures. New. And then Ryuki's one of the better molds. It's frustrating, but still. What was the other one? It wasn't important as important. Oh, the drive thing from the Ghost movie.
Yeah, Zero Drive or whatever and Trideron were shown off, and Buffy Chico comes out in like October or something.
I don't know when we talked about it, but they did do a little teaser image for Amazon's. Was it Alpha? It was Omega.
Yeah, it was the green one.
Yeah. So that I'm excited for that because I want to get both of those. Also, I'm a few behind on that, and that's the first time in a long time I've looked at a backlog of Toku and not been upset that I had a backlog. Because I think I told you that when I caught up on it, I was like, let's get through one of these 40 minutes. And then, like, next thing I knew, I watched all four that I hadn't watched. And it was a delightful afternoon. So, like, I'm hoping
another one of those.
Hello. Oh, look, it's working now.
I was going to say you were, like, gone.
Well, I had to restart my computer. It didn't. I got a new headset and it didn't work.
Like, well, it's I could hear now, you, but and it actually sounds really good. So,
well, yeah, the old one broke, so I had to get a new one.
I realize that.
And my sister went to Best Buy. I was like, "Hey, do you need to get a headset? I'll get you one while I'm here." I said yes, and then she sent me a picture of two of them and said, "Which one did you have?" I said, "The one on the left." I told her exactly what it was and how much I paid for it. Well, I said, I'm almost positive that's the one, but I don't remember 100%. Then she bought the other one instead because the employee there, who clearly knows things because he works at a Best Buy, said there was no difference. And it was the same headset, just the other one was $20 more expensive. And so I was like, well, why did you do that? I told you what to buy and you couldn't handle it. But,
failure.
Yeah. What were you just discussing? Because I heard you talking about figure arts when I restarted the computer.
We just last mentioned that Omega, Amazon Omega.
Did you get to let's see, Raphael and Michelangelo are coming out finally. One's October, one's November. It's Raph and then Mike. More exclusives. Oh. Raph has a shuriken and a little dagger thing. I don't forget what it's called. And Mikey has his grappling hook, which looks kind of cool.
Microwave time.
Microwave time. Time for Hot Pockets.
Hot Pockets.
What else?
Get to Figure Arts movie turtles from the new movie, does that mean we could eventually get a Steven Amell figure art, which means we'd have, like, an Arrow figure art?
Oh, my God. Yes. Let's do that.
All connected. And then they do an April figure, which is just a Reagan figure. And that's one step away from a Schmidt figure. It's all connected.
They've got the double.
All that one shitting the bed.
They got the double Shinkucho Seiho, which looks nice. And people won't complain because the joints are painted green and black, so.
Praise the holy Lord Jesus.
Suck it, Fize fans.
I'm hoping they get to renewal Fize, his fingertips still aren't painted.
And of course, we're going to start with the Kiva still isn't released bitching.
Yeah, we did that already.
We did that? That's always fun to have. What other ones did you discuss? Did you get to Grateful?
No, I forgot about Grateful. Grateful looks good, except it's a fucking exclusive. Fuck except that shit, December, stupid whores.
It's a December exclusive, because fuck my life.
We'll be knee-deep in the other next rider before that ever comes out.
Like, I just don't understand. Like, this... like I said on Twitter, this pulling names out of a hat, the shit that they do, really needs to fucking stop. This is just dumb.
Gold Drive.
Gold Drive.
Maybe it's because, wait, does he count for... No, he doesn't. He counts as, like, the mid-season-y formula slot. Because I was thinking, because of how shitty Dead Heat did, I was like, maybe it's because he counted as a Dead Heat slot. But Boost was Dead Heat slot. Yeah, and they're
he
doing
was
him
formula's slot, which was also yeah. exclusive. So
hey, at least Grateful doesn't have stickers for each individual icon face.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's gay.
That would be terrible.
And then SH Figure Arts Tony Stark.
That's so random.
Tony Stank.
Tony Stank from Iron Man 3. But it's so pretty. And it's Robert Downey Jr.'s face.
Friends call him Junie.
That's what I call him. Robert Downey Jr.'s face. I'm excited. And then if you go to the page, the Avengers page or whatever, Marvel page on Tamashii, they show the Mark III armor, which is the one from the end of the first Iron Man movie, which is completely random. But looks pretty.
They want to do, like, every Iron Man.
I'm fine with that. And then Tony Stark is a retail for October, so I'm even more fine with that. Because that means I can get...
Tony Stark is a retail release, and Grateful Tamashii isn't. Process it for a moment. Damn
but
it, Tony
Stark. That kind of stuff happened.
Let's see, and then...
Well, he got mad because Ghost didn't want to sign the Accords. Like, he said, why don't you sign the Accords? And Ghost was just like, I want to protect people's smiles! And then Tony just, like, gave him a blank look and walked away. It was really weird.
Let's see, Gord Drive, they teased type Tridron and Zero Drive? Or something?
Yep.
Let's see... I'm trying to think if there's anything else. And then they got that Ichigo guy. Like the new bulky Ichigo. Roided out Ichigo.
Excuse me,
this is like
Ichigo?
One of those TV episodes where you get to see the same plot from a different perspective.
Well, I don't know what you discussed because
I know, but it's just
fun. So, I'm mostly excited about Tony Stark. And Grateful. Grateful actually looks really pretty.
I don't know if I'm going to pre-order Grateful, if I'm just going to wing it and Mandarake it.
I can't pre-order. I'm blacklisted.
I'm probably going to pre-order because Oki actually likes me, and I don't want to take any chances.
I might not even care about it by the time it comes out.
Well, that's the other thing, too, right? You gotta wait so fucking long for it to come out because I don't understand this all. Like,
it's
we
May.
Still don't have Type Trider on. Like, the final rider form from the last show isn't even out yet.
Did they ever show us a figure for that?
Yeah.
Like, just now. He was at the last show.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like, there's no date for it yet. Like,
okay.
I mean, I'm sure we'll find out this weekend what its release date's gonna be, but...
When it's gonna have a release.
I didn't remember pre-ordering.
I want a release.
Because honestly, if Tridron doesn't come out before, like, September, like, that's kind of ridiculous.
It really is. And we're already
release.
In May.
Gosh, January. I don't want to think about the fact that you can potentially be ordering toys that don't come out until next year.
Oh my god.
That happens frequently.
Yeah, it does. I do, since I didn't really get a one-ups because I... couldn't talk to you people.
I counted to four.
I heard you, and I was getting even more pissed off because you were counting to four.
The rules have been spoken.
You've been smoking, what?
Yes.
Well, he's in Colorado. So, I remember I told that story about, like, how I went to get Dark Eye. No, I went to go get Darkrai, and that dude was a total Nazi, and like, no, you can't have more than one. And, like, I finally, like...
Mr. Miyagi works at GameStop.
Yes, Mr. Miyagi.
After.
And I talked him into getting me, like, giving me a second one. Well, I went this time. I was like, well, let me try and go back. It's been long enough. Maybe the guy's not working there today. I can get my other two fucking Darkrai. So, I go there, and this dude who kind of reminds me of George works there. And... like, it's what I imagine George would kind of be like if if I saw him in person. And so I got the Darkrai, the ball, off, like, the shelf, and I'm, like, rolling it around in my hand because I have a fidgeting problem. And because the guy's like, oh, what are you in here for, or whatever, I don't know what the fuck he said. And I'm like, I'm here to get Darkrai. I'm like, okay, so I'm rolling this ball around in my hand like a child. I go up to the counter, and he's like, how many do you need? Do you need more than one? I'm like, yeah, I need two. He's like, well, here's three, just in case. Like, well, fuck, if I'd have known this guy was giving them out like they were fucking M&Ms, I'd have just, like, come here now and got them from you. Like, the first guy thought I was, like, trying to ask for the Holy Grail, fucking Ark of the Covenant. This guy's like, no, they're like candy, just fucking take them. We don't want them. Take them all. Fucking asshole. I'm like, Jesus Christ. So I got my Darkrai, I'm all happy. But nothing else was really exciting. I literally got nothing else. I found the ninja bad guy figure, like the villain ninja for Supercharge.
Just kind of not even forgetting the name. That's just his name.
Yeah, that's what the package says. Villain ninja. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I got the Darkrai TCG collection thing, the 20th anniversary one. So I have that one now. I almost had to pay for Cube Kuma at HLJ, and then AmiAmi put one up, and I was able to buy it to add with my figure arts for the month, so I didn't have to try and just ship a small cube bear by itself. So that made me happy. And I bought a Machamp figure at Walmart yesterday for a special someone.
Yay.
It was Kiefer.
Damn it.
I got it for Keeper to celebrate him getting out of imprisonment from his one.
Oddly enough, on Earth 2, Keeper is their mentor, and Keeper is the one that live tweets our podcast or does reviews for our podcast.
Oh my god, I want to see that now.
Hold on, EEE dot.
Jesus.
At one point in time, I had two Cube Kumas. That was a thing that happened to me.
I've also discovered that the baby, the small child, knows she can identify the difference between Mario and Luigi. She's really into Luigi.
She likes tall guys.
Like she's always like, because I gave her my plush one, so she would leave my
hairy feet. And not as important as the main character.
Exactly. I was like, well, I'm tired of her touching my fig yards, and we'll get my plush ones and see what she does. And she just walks around with them and hugs them, but she really wants to hug Luigi. She likes my Koopa, and then she put Luigi in her mouth, and that was a thing that's on Facebook.
She, like, I saw that.
Had him in her mouth by the nose.
Like, and then wandered around with it.
His giant Italian nose is in her mouth. And...
It's so round and bulbous.
She's just like swinging him around, like give to daddy, and she's shaking her head no, like it's a dog toy, like
in your crate.
But if you tell her like get Mario or get Luigi, she gets the right one. She knows which one's which already. So, you know, training her right.
Train her with the amiibos.
I try that because she likes to play with the amiibo. So if she picks up and hands it to me, I'm like Ness. You too. She has a thing for
not
YouTube.
Not you, YouTube.
Like, she likes to grab Mewtwo, Ness, Lucas, Jigglypuff, Charizard, Mega Man, Pac-Man, and Olimar.
I hope that this anniversary D-Arc comes with Takato's notes. I've been clamoring for Takato's notebook since the start of Digimon Tamers. I mean, just give us Legacy Takato's notebook.
Sad part is I can't tell if he's telling the truth or not.
He is.
Truth. I mean, if it came with it, I wouldn't be mad. I wouldn't be like, fuck this notebook and then set it on fire and rub the ashes on my face.
No, you'd rub the ashes on your penis.
Damn. Caught me.
That's a fetish.
Digimodify? Dear Lord.
I could tell y'all
execute spirit evolution.
Because when I got him, I signed on and I entered the call. I just said the word penis about 12 times in a row. And when you didn't respond, I knew you couldn't hear me.
It's a good indication.
Yeah. So we found out what that symbol meant.
Well, yeah, the that thing.
Diners, Dragons, and Dives.
You know what I love most about that is
Austin looks like Guy Fieri.
Yes, he does. He absolutely does look like Guy Fieri, and it's ridiculous.
And Justin looks like the theater thug. Give me the money. I ain't playing.
It's the fact that they did all of this like marketing and hype for what is essentially them asking for money.
Yeah, because
it's now on like Indiegogo or Kickstarter or whatever the hell that they put it up on. I'm like, so you spend all this time and money shooting a trailer for you to put up for your Kickstarter.
What I find funny too is they're trying to generate hype, and around they're trying to, all this awesome stuff was happening. Like, we got to see the movie Suits, Civil War came out, Generation 7 Pokemon. So it's like they're just quietly screaming, and it's being drowned out by like this awesome stuff.
And not then, to mention, like, they're all obnoxious and awful anyhow, but...
I can't help but every time I see a picture, or I can't help but laugh because it's so funny. It's like a low-budget student film, and they think they look so cool. Like, I remember making a joke about Austin looking like Guy Fieri before they announced this thing, and he said it was for a film, and I had no idea it was this, and I liked that that was the choice for this. It wasn't like some director for some random movie that also probably didn't get funded, made him do it. Like, this was their choice. Like, hey, what if I look like Guy Fieri? I always knew that ASJ was Earth 2 Guy Fieri.
Austin St. John was just like, yo, guys, what if I was Guy Fieri with a gun?
That's out of bounds.
I blame Karen Ashley. She was probably like, I want Austin, I want you to boogie with the bear, so I need your hair to go blonde. And he was like, okay, let's do this. That joke didn't work as well as I hoped it would.
It didn't. I'm sorry.
I was in the middle of a silent argument. Sorry, I was paying attention.
With Kat or yourself?
That's the question, isn't it?
Isn't it?
But yeah, like they announced that it was like a Indiegogo campaign today, and I like shat myself. It was really, really funny. Damn it! I just dropped cards.
Bollocks.
Either way, the person he was arguing with is a complete retard.
Who's a retard?
The person you were arguing with, whether it was you or Kat.
Oh. Seems fair. But anyhow, so that's doomed to complete and utter failure. At least I hope so, because that's what the words.
I don't know.
I don't like the people involved, and most of them suck. That's basically what
I don't know. I kind of want to see it just to see what they do.
I'm totally going to watch it. That's not even the point of it.
We could do the reboot of RR Rift for it.
I would be perfectly okay with that.
It'll be the gritty reboot. I'll do the whole thing in my Zoom voice. It was really funny yesterday. I was trying to do Batman, like Christian Bale's Batman. I accidentally did Zoom. I'm like, no, that's Zoom. I'm sorry. I went too dark. When I stop doing it, I'm basically just like Dudley Do Right.
And if you went even more dark, you'd have to go fight Paul Blart.
That little fucker. Anyhow,
they can never take the holiday. Why do you think I've been walking around here with eyes of an eagle? It's my favorite one. Okay,
so I think that's all toku related stuff. I got a big dick.
Okay. Oh, there was the Ninja Megazord and the Legacy Helmet.
Oh,
which
yeah.
The Legacy Helmet was something we didn't know about.
The Legacy Helmet is meant to destroy all the people that make costumes.
Yeah.
That's fine. I don't really care about them. I don't know any of them.
The prop creators are doomed.
That's kind of neat, though. Like, even though it's... I would have liked maybe a different MMPR helmet. Maybe they'll do it later, but it's still kind of neat, like unexpected, something we didn't know about.
Yeah, I'm sure if red does well, they'll do green and white, and probably nothing after that, because nothing else matters.
I'd love to get a black one. It would be cool.
That would be really cool.
But, and then, like, it's really funny, like, because we've known about the Ninja Megazord for a while, but I see people tweeting about it like it's brand new news. And, like, whenever we find out about something... like MMPR related, and it's even funnier now because we know about it. People always like say, "Why aren't we moving on?" And like, there are the people that say, "Why aren't we doing Zio?" But there's also the people that go like way far, like randomly, like seven seasons ahead. Like, all right, that's how they're gonna do it. They're gonna do this pretty much chronologically, and then they're gonna go Ninja Mega Falcon Zord stuff, and then the Titanium Morpher. That's what they're gonna do.
Why aren't we doing Lost Galaxy?
And it's funny because like we're almost understand
why we
done.
Haven't gotten Wild Force. Give me a Crystal Saber.
We're almost done too, and like technically speaking, MMPR is made up of three different series. If you want to get technical,
if you want to get technical,
it's like we're so
nerd glasses.
Let's get away from these nerds. That's really funny. You push up your glasses, your right? Jeez. Oh, that was great. So good, but. Yeah.
What a loser.
Like, it looks alright. It's not like a drastic update or anything, but it looks alright.
Yeah, we're close to being done. Well, all we need now, what is Shogun Megazord, if they decide to do Megazord. Tor, and maybe Ninjor, and then I think
and then
that's
season
it.
Season 3 Titanus.
I want them to do Legacy Spaceship Titanus, where it's just Titanus that's been decapitated and they stick three cannons on it.
Now, what I need is for the Legacy Shogun Zord to come with a pink arm and a white arm. That way it's interchangeable, so it's show accurate.
I've already got the change.org petition ready.
It's going to get more donations than the order.
I hope so.
Did you see that Zordon wrote that movie?
Yeah, with Karen Ashley,
written, people.
Oh, that's going to be a winner.
Written by Karen Ashley and Zordon. I'm like, oh god, this is even better. It's the same way you want to watch a train wreck.
I like how it's like the reunion you've been waiting for, and it's like, well, I wasn't really waiting for the reunion, but this isn't even in the right context.
Well, and then it's like it's the Mighty Morphin guys, and then it's like Aaron Cahill and Jason Font, Dan Southworth. The black chick, who I didn't even know was still a person. I didn't even recognize her.
Wait, there's been a lot of them. Which one?
The Yellow Ranger.
Oh, Kate.
Okay. Yeah. And then it's like Allison Kipperman, who I did not recognize at first, and I met her, like, in person, up close, and she wouldn't stop talking. I mean, she's a nice person, but she just rambles on for extended periods of time.
I remember that.
And then, Azeem. Like, I'm not sure how he got in this. He's just there.
He's just actually, they don't even know he's in it. He's, like, really stealthy and just gets in all the pictures.
Like, and then Pauly is there, and I'm sorry, but I think it's hilarious. Because it seems like he's, like, some kind of bad guy or something. And it's just hilarious. It's like Pauly trying to be, I can't think of the name now. Shit. The Kingpin.
Oh my god.
Like,
it'll be amazing. I mean, it's really easy to pull off. All you have to do is just talk like you're about to vomit. It's super easy. That's how the Kingpin does it. But yeah, Legacy stuff. Oh, and also, no surprise, there's a green and white Legacy communicator, too.
No surprise. Is it revealed? Is it confirmed? Is it convealed?
Both.
Oh, fuck.
If they add an exclamation point to any of this news, it's automatically 10 times more exciting. Everyone knows that. It's Toku 101.
Let's see, I'm trying to think of this. I don't think there's anything else ghost-related or Geode-related, anything I actually might care about. No.
Pretty slow week. For Toku news, at least.
Yeah, also for vagina news.
That ghost set out last week, the Legend Rider one. I think we talked about it.
The sparkly one, yeah.
We talked about that.
That was
we
the
talked
last
about
ghost-related
movie
thing
set.
That I'm aware of.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's it for nudes.
Okay.
Oh yeah. And now it's time for superhero time. Juoja.
Oops. I meant to turn it down, like, all the way off, and I turned it all the way up.
Kamen Rider Ghosto, Doki Doki Ghosto, Boosto, Ghosto.
Just go regular.
That's what the ladies tell me. Just go regular. And I'm like, gotta pound it. Gotta force it in.
I thought you were going to say that, and then I say, boost, don't go. That would be the weirdest thing of all time to say during sex. Well, maybe not the weirdest thing of all time, but like...
Challenge accepted.
But like, just... I wouldn't be able to stop laughing after
that.
Oh,
that's where we differ, sir. That's where we differ. That's why you have no discipline. So Jew Ocher happened this week. There was a sick bitch in a hospital bed dying for cake. And then her brother was a security guard who the monster tried to bribe so he could steal a jewel. The monster was like a big vacuum cleaner bag or something. I don't know what was happening.
Is this real?
Yeah, that happened. I mean, I watched the same episode you guys did, right? I mean, this is the new one.
Yeah, that did happen.
Okay. I was present when this episode played.
The said monster and another monster are trying to become like section bosses or whatever the fuck they're called. And they're really in love with Jagged, the guy who died in episode 1. I think it was 1. I don't fucking know.
Yeah. All
I know is,
it might have been episode 2. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, whatever it was. But, like, the one dude wanted to, like, suck that dude's dick or something because he was talking to his ghost. I don't know what was happening there. So, I mean, that's pretty much what happened. Almost nothing happened in this episode.
As per usual.
Yeah. I don't know, I actually found this one kind of less fun than the other ones have been. I mean, not as much happened. I mean, not a lot usually happens, but I just didn't find this one as much fun. I wasn't really invested with Sick Girl and her brother. I don't know. What do you think, Brian?
Same, really. Like, it was there. Like, I have no real emotion toward it. Like, it wasn't even one of those episodes where, like, all the characters were really fun or whatever, because they were all also just kind of there.
Like, they really didn't do anything this episode.
Selma totally just phoned it in. Like, she had, like, 2 lines the entire episode. And they consisted of, oh, I can hear him, he's right here.
Shoot. And Tusk didn't really do anything either. I mean, they were...
He also only had, like, 2 lines.
The whole episode was mostly Amu, and even Amu and
friends.
She just talked to a girl in a bed. That was most of her thing, and I'm not sure what they're going for this episode.
I think Aerosol tweeted this. It was, like, that by Geo of the World being a late 6 Ranger again, like, it kind of builds up a lot of, I don't want to really say killer excitement, but something to look forward to, but it creates just a big blotch of filler that we didn't really have with stuff like Kyoryuger, because Kyoryuger Gold came in like episode 9. So.
Yeah.
Well, and but see, with Kyoryuger, we didn't just have gold, we had aqua or cyan, and we had gray. So we had other people also coming in. And other things happening to kind of fill in the gaps too, but I don't know. This was just there.
I was pretty bored, basically.
I don't even remember the preview for next week to know if it's going to be any better.
I was just going to ask because I didn't even bother watching it.
The other guy that was part of the duo,
the sniper guy. The second guy who wants
he can turn people into dolls with his gun.
Oh no.
And
I can already see the writing on the wall.
So, like, I think a couple of them turned into dolls, and then there was Leo in a suit at one point, like, with the lion head.
Oh, God. I was gonna say, it's just like the episode Tebow was in a suit, but if he puts the lion head on, it's not Tebow anymore.
So, yeah, next episode looks just as thrilling and full of plot. But Geo of the World should be starting to pop up pretty soon. Like,
I hope so.
The elements of him, because his stuff starts coming out, like, the end of June, I think, so.
Yeah, we should be getting Crocodile and Rhino or something. Or Rhino, Wolf.
A wolf.
Cube Wolf.
Cube Pussy.
Oh, look, Cube Wolf is on the roof.
I love that bit in their vows when she says, I mean, she's going to live with constant mispronunciation of common words. Oh, so good.
Eat my pussy.
That was also in Season's vows. It's weird. Ghost, which is so related to that. This week was about the streets running rampant with youths.
This week went by. This week went by really fast.
Like three times as fast. The kids were bouncing off the walls. How much sugar did they get?
Three times as fast as normal. It was crazy.
Just as fast as the last bit of G-Ranger.
So what I got out of this episode of Ghost is that one of the nobodies that works at the temple does not like his mommy. He's got some mommy issues.
I was like, why are we focusing on this guy? I don't even care about him.
Like, I think I was even more upset than if the episode had focused on Akari or Onari. Like, at least they're like a main side character.
At least it was replacement Deno. At least it wasn't the other one.
Yeah.
Like replacement Deno is like one step above other dude, which is one step below Akari and Onari.
Like, at least like they're main side characters, and I'd have been a little more okay with it being about them, but this was just dumb. But at the end of the episode, Jackie Chan came in, so that was
fun. Yeah.
And I was so excited to see Jackie Chan.
It's nice to finally see Takaiwa in like a speaking on camera role that's not just like a quick cameo.
Yeah, I think the last one he did was like B Fighter Kabuto.
Oh jeez.
That I know.
Japanese
of.
Flabber.
That was before he was like really Fireborg, big actually. Too. So.
That's before all the writers came back, but yeah, it was pretty neat. Like, I mean, I've seen him where he talks, like, when they do all the, like, the special feature extra things where he talks about, like, doing all the stunts and shit, but as an actual on-camera acting thing, this is, like, the first thing I've seen him do since then.
That's really cool. It's disappointing that he's just, like, he's just Ultima. He's not, like, someone new or... So even but someone cool, because the Ultima suit's really boring, but...
Yeah, I think it's kind of cool that he's the guy that trained Alan how to fight.
Yeah.
Like, it just is kind of fitting, since he's the every writer suit actor. I'm all the main writers ever, because I'm awesome.
I've seen, like, one meme picture that was a picture of him, and it's like, hold on, I have to beat up myself.
We got to see Ghost fight alongside Ryoma again. That was neat. I like when he does that.
They haven't done it in a while.
They haven't, and so that made me happy when I saw it. But it looks like they're going around undoing everything Alan spent the first part of the show doing. So that's that's productive.
So there's all these gates. We need to close them. I spent the entire first part of the show creating them, but you know,
if only they had a Cisco to make a breach closing machine like Barry and everyone did.
Yeah,
it'd be easy peasy. I mean, granted, they don't have a speedster to run around the city and throw them in the breaches like footballs, but
Takaru's going around vibing on everybody.
He was vibing.
Why
the
do
past
I have
there.
This yes. power? I don't know.
Like, I think that's funny.
That old professor dude showed up again.
And he's going to tell him the truth now. And then he got vibed on or something, and it was like, oh. I thought he knew Sayanoji was there. I'm trying to figure out why he was surprised.
I thought he was too, but I forget what the characters know and what only we know.
Right, like, I'm so confused. I thought
I forget
he
all
knew.
Of
this. I thought he
knew. I don't even know his name was Sayanoji or whatever the hell you guys just said.
Snaggletooth. Like,
oh, the guy that's like, oh, I have a briefcase.
Yes, briefcase man. I thought he knew that Snaggletooth and his dad worked together with this guy.
Yeah, I thought he did. He totally did.
So when he saw me, like, to me, that moment was kind of like, what's this coughing Pokemon? Like, I've never seen it before.
Who's that Pokemon? Coughing!
Wow, is this exclusive to Unova? God damn it, Ash.
Coughing's like, you stupid little bitch.
So that's how I felt there. And what was... And I'm trying to understand, because the whole thing, they were like, his dad's alive, and I'm trying to figure out why they think his dad's alive.
I'm assuming it's going to be something involving what we find out in the next episode.
Because I just, like, it, from what I saw, it didn't make sense, and I didn't understand what they were trying to say, aside from dad's alive. I don't know how dad could... I don't know how dad could be alive, because I thought it was, like, his soul that was in the Tokon boost that he combined with Takaru's to allow him to power up and kill things.
Maybe someone finally gets fed up with him using boost and smashes it with a hammer and it frees his soul. Balloons are like our souls. They like to go up, and when you pop them, they scream.
I mean, that makes sense. Not that sentence, but the popping of the icon. Not that sentence. That sentence
was best line of the entire show, honestly.
It really was. Classic Glenn.
Classic Muppet.
I can't even do it. That sounded like a seal. Classic. Glenn. Anyway.
That happened.
But with the flashbacky stuff, it looks like next week might be more interesting.
Yeah, we should be getting some stuff. So, you know, the last 5 minutes of the episode mattered.
The rest that was about it, really.
I mean, they guess they pretty much outright said that the gun misers can't die, and then, like, two different ones came down this time and started fucking shit up. I don't know what's happening. I guess, you know, it'll probably take him getting Mugen and Damashii, and then they'll start dying. Is probably the idea.
Totally. Giggling.
Fucking asshole. Brian, shut your sister up. Haley gives no fucks. I did learn that Natalie really likes my icons that light up and make noise the best.
We have that in common.
I tried to hand her Spectre, and she just shook her head at me, and it's sitting next to Boost on my table, because I was at some point going to attempt to record reviews again, and you know, if I could find the time, and so she was fussing. I go to hand her Spectre, and she's like, shook her head with this like angry baby face. I was like, no. And so I grabbed Boost and handed it to her, and she took that and started pushing the button, and she calmed down. And then she kept wanting Deep Spectre. She's really attached to it. I don't know why.
Deep Toot.
But she knows how they work. Cause like as soon as I handed her Galileo, and the second I handed her Galileo, she went straight for the button and just started clicking it repeatedly, like a child. I guess
you gave the kid Galileo.
Yes.
I'd be a little bit more protective of the Galileo, but...
I gave her Ishinomori, too.
Well, yeah, but that one's not as much money.
She likes Galileo, actually. I just give my shit to her. I give her all my cubes. She loves the cube animals. But, in fact, I took the icons and put them into the ghost driver... And she gets mad because she wants to play with them, so she's trying to reach into the driver through the top, and she can't take them out, and she starts crying. But that's she fun. Didn't. I thought maybe she'd like the 45 icon because it lights up. No, no, she does not want any part of that icon. Just absolutely.
She knows it's gutter trash.
Like, I tried. I'm like, look, it lights up, and she just shook her head and got all mad again. I'm like, I'm sorry, I'll put it back. Here's Deep Toot again. Fucking kid. Then she takes the Forza and just chucks it across the room. I'm like, really?
Well.
Like,
who wouldn't? Let's be real.
It's like she knows. It's just kind of funny that little baby, even she knows that Forza can eat a dick. So what's the next segment of this podcast?
Now it's time for
Ramble time.
Yeah! I didn't watch Pokemon this week, I'm not gonna lie.
Neither did I.
It was a better-ish one, because it was about Ash battling that little guy that's got the Sceptile, and then the guy from the Mega Evolution Special saw them, and he was like, oh, I like your Greninja and his cool water effects, let's battle. And then
like, I wanted to watch it, I just haven't gotten to yet. Because I saw that Alan was going to be there, and Sceptile, and I like Sceptile. So that's a thing.
I was thinking in this episode how, like, his pseudo-rivalry with Ash as a new trainer was done so much better than the way Trips was. Because it's, like, a gradual thing, and he's sort of learning from Ash and becoming a challenge instead of all of a sudden beating him with a Snivy.
You know, that's what I liked about him, is that, like, the whole time he takes notes, right? And you see him, he starts
like
with
Nathan Drake.
He starts with the Treecko, and he improves, it evolves the Grovyle, he improves, learns more, takes notes, catches more Pokemon, it becomes a Sceptile. So it's like he's actually like growing along with his journey instead of just being a cock. Like the last couple rivals.
I miss Paul.
Paul was an asshole, but he was a good rival.
Yeah. And I like that he was like Ash, and he'd been through all the regions, so he had like all these Pokemon at his disposal, and he had a stupid trip.
You know, I missed the entire fucking Diamond and Pearl arc of the anime. That's what I miss.
Even if there was like a whole season between gyms.
Yeah, well.
Well, I don't know, there's like a whole season between 7th and 8th gym and Kalos, so that's Diamond true. And Pearl remake confirmed. And actually, he's in Japan. He's about to go fight the Snowbell gym leader. So Sun and Moon. Since I didn't get to talk last week, I want to talk, and I can do what I want because it's my show. Sun and Moon. I
want your sass.
I like these starters. People don't seem to like Popplio very much, and I don't understand why. I think he's adorable.
It's because out of every starter bunch, there's always one that everyone has to hate.
And they pick
the internet just picked him.
Like, I love him. He's so happy. He's so fun. Like Litten looks adorable. I love Litten and, like, his grumpy cat look. And Rowlet is he's an owl with a bow tie. I went to work Saturday. One of the guys there that I talk to about this stuff frequently, I asked him, I said, did you see these new starters? Okay. He says, yes, they look terrible. I said, no, you.
No, you move.
No, you look terrible. You just don't understand how to have fun. He's like, they're dumb. I'm like, how are they dumb? It's an owl with a bow tie, a cat that shoots fiery hairballs, and a sea lion. How? What part of any of that sounds awful? I really do want to see, like, it be a thing that, like, Ash gets Litten. I don't even care if it's Ash. It could be just somebody else on the group gets Litten. And every time Ash does something fucking stupid, it just hacks up a hairball at him. Sets his head on fire. Like,
I would be fine with that.
He has another, like, who's that coughing moment, and, fuck you.
fuck my hat, Pikachu!
Possibly it was just sitting there clapping its flippers, laughing at him. That's what you get, you fucking douchebag.
Who do you think Ash is gonna get?
Rowlet, because he needs everything flying and birds, and if they continue on with the trend from Kalos, he's gonna get a Rowlet because he likes flying types.
I think it's gonna depend on the decks.
It's
on how, like, what they can fill it out with.
It is. I think it's also gonna depend on if there's any kind of new evolutions or anything, anybody that he can bring from home, like he did with Phanpy or Aipom, evolve them, because that's always a possibility. Or if he, you know, because he's going to leave all these Kalos guys with Professor Oak, and they're just going to sit there. And Greninja's just going to be like, what the fuck? and everyone else is going to be like, we know. Bayleaf is going to be sitting there like, yeah, I know, right?
How are they going to properly explain that? Like, oh, Ash and Greninja have this close bond. Oh, see you later, buddy. I got to hop on this blimp or plane or boat or whatever, however the hell I get there. Toodles.
They're not. I don't think they are. They're just going to ignore it and move on. So I think that's all, you know, that's a possibility. It's going to depend on what they do, you know, and what the what other people they have travel with him. You know, if it's if there's a gym leader that maybe is already like a fire type gym leader that maybe they have a Litten or they catch a Litten, so then Ash wouldn't. Or if they go like the Clement route where he's an electric gym leader, but beat it, fuck it, give me a Chespin
and a Bunnelby.
Or Brock, how Brock's the rock type gym leader, and he's got Ludicolo and Vulpix and Crobat, Pineco.
Ludicolo's fabulous.
Well, he is. But, you know, none of those are rock types, and he's got Chansey. But that fits because he's going to be a doctor, so. But, so I don't really know, and actually, now that he's got Greninja, he has a fully evolved of all three types of starters, because water is the only one he didn't have before, fully evolved. Or I think even evolved at all. Unless I'm forgetting someone. Because Squirtle and Totodile never evolved. And then Brock had the Marsh Stomp. Dawn had Piplup. And then, fifth gen was Oshawott, and Oshawott never evolved either. So, yeah, this is the first time he's evolved a water starter.
And with Ash Greninja being like this mega level-esque thing, he can also mega evolve Charizard and Sceptile.
That would be nice. I'd enjoy that. And then it also is if they don't have any other megas that come in, if, you know, Torkoal gets a mega, or Craw, who else do you have? Donphan, or Gardevoir, those are or if they make megas for the second gen starters, and Quilava or Bayleaf evolve.
Mega Totodile.
I would stab someone in the throat for a Mega Torkoal.
Like,
that's dead, please.
Or like if Totodile comes along and he just goes all the way to Feraligatr and Mega Evolves, I'd be fine with that. You know, like, at this point we don't really know. I like how the region is the Alola region, which is thinly veiling it as Hawaii. and then I saw a picture that, like, points to a harbor and a volcano and says Diamond and Pearl Remix confirmed.
I saw that and I about died.
I was just like, son of a bitch.
Diamond and Pearl Remix confirmed.
All I could think about was the South Park and Pokemon thing, and they're like, try to bomb the harbor. They're just trying to make the kids bomb Pearl Harbor. So that's, you know, that's fun. I love the legendaries. Oh my god, they are so pretty. I did expect
Gekibat is best legendary.
I did expect the lion to be a little more red. Just because like the box is red, and that's so racist. I thought he'd be. I know.
You think he's red? It's racist because you think he's white.
Except he's white. So, and then there was something in the little. That last Coral Coral trailer just kind of sitting on the side of the road.
It's a little butt. It's a little new Pokemon butt.
Pokey butt.
Cutest, it's cute butt. As Kenji
butt. It's the butt, win or lose. It's the butt you make. Why? Why?
What I would like to go discuss is that thing that was sent to us. Actually, first, I want to go over this. I found this list of the new Pokemon that it was on George's page. Did you see that? All the new the new Pokemon?
What?
It's a fake list that's been going around. I didn't look at it. I mean, I know of it, but I didn't look at it.
It's like these like little like pictures, and it's just like this little hairball with eyes and says like hair, and then it's like chest hair. And then it's like tooth. It's like this tooth with eyes, and it's like teeth, and it's two teeth stuck together. And it's like thief, and it's got three teeth.
Defender of two.
There's one that's like egg, and then bacon egg, and then full English. So it's like the egg has grown bacon arms and legs, and then that's like grown toast. And
unborn toast. Still the best username I've ever seen in anything.
Then there's like man. And then woman and whoa woman, so it's got like four breasts and it's fucking hilarious. So I thought that was funny. But the thing that was sent to us where this guy basically used Google Chrome and the stupidity of the Japanese to figure out what the final types of the starters are. So that Popplio will be water fighting, which is funny to me because actually that same asshole I was at work with who doesn't know how to have fun, we had just talked the day before about it being water fighting, and then I saw that, I was like, well, that's kind of funny, and then now in seeing this video, what he said is that Litten will be fire ground, but I think it's gonna be more like plain fire, and that it'll be grass ground.
Yeah, that's the current theory going around, is that more well, like it's gonna turn grass ground, and that Litten's gonna stay fire because of the order in which the icons appear.
Right, because it was like the icon one was grass, two was flying, three was ground, and four was fire. Yeah. And then five is water. So they would have, if it was going to be fire ground, they'd have reversed them and made fire number three. But either way, I'm fine with water fighting. We haven't had that before, and I'm fine with the pure fire. We actually had, the last pure fire was for a starter was Typhlosion, who is in fact the only pure fire. In fact, Gen 2 was the only time that all three starters didn't have a dual type.
This is like fun facts with Kevin.
Well, every other time, I mean, like,
Venusaur. It's called In Fact. It's a new show premiering this
in
fall.
In fact. It's Venusaur's Grass Poison, Charizard's Fire Flying. Swampert.
Water Ground.
Was Water Ground. Blaziken's Fire Fighting. Torterra. Yeah, fourth gen had grass ground, firefighting again because they fucking hate us, and water steel. Gen 5 was grass, firefighting for a third time. I don't know why they like that combination so fucking much. And water. And then Gen 6 had the grass fighting, fire, psychic, and water dark. So I don't know if they're ever going to just do a thing like Gen 2 again where they only have one type. That's probably not going to happen. But I was actually
really hoping for fire dark, but
yeah, I actually could have seen that just because he's black, which
it's racist again. You think he's black?
I learned from Dawson. but I mean, generally, when something is a dark type, they kind of put a lot of black on it, and he's got a lot of black.
And I mean, Sepik like didn't have nearly as much black, and people were assuming he was going to be that before we saw Pignite and Emboar.
Yeah, but even Emboar has some black on
that
him.
That thing
and,
Dothan yeah. calls Emboar.
I forgot about that. What an idiot. It's never going to be its name. I named like, Emboar, everyone knows it.
Alpha, what irritated me about the Gen 6 starters is that, like, the only way to get them to really learn a move of their secondary type was through a TM, unless you wait to, like, some obscene level, and even then it's not a good move. Like, my Greninja, I had to teach it Thief so it would have a Dark-type move, because I don't even remember what the Dark-type move it gets is.
I think I have Night Slash on mine, and it works fine.
Well, I don't... Let me see.
I don't teaching him that either. I think he learned it.
He learns it at 70.
Well, yeah, but I have the EXP all on, so he is at level 70 by the second gym. So it's like no big deal.
Well, yeah. I mean, like, I'm going to give him Light Slash when he gets level 70, but before then, you know, he evolves at 36. So between levels of 36 and 70, like, well, you're a dark type, but you don't have a dark type move. Like, a lot of times they get some other type move in between there, and they didn't. I know, same thing with Chestnut. Chestnut doesn't get a fighting move until level 60 with Hammer Arm, and which I'm not fond of because you every time you use it, your speed goes down, and I don't like being slow. I want to go fast, like Ricky Bobby. So I think I gave mine Brick Break. I don't remember what I forgot. But I'm like, well, that's kind of stupid. There's no point if you're not going to give me an attack that works with it. Fucking assholes. I like to complain. It's the cool thing to do. I'm only one of the cool kids and complain about everything.
Randomly, like, rewinding three topics, but I was just thinking if that whole, like, Ash Greninja...
Greninja...
Greninja like type of mechanic ends up being a thing for Gen 7, then they could totally bring Greninja back with the whole bond thing if it's like a catalyst for it. That would be kind of neat to have that like sort of silently introduced in the anime. Like when it came out, I didn't even, or at least I didn't really think about, oh, that's going to be a Gen 7 mechanic. I just thought it was like a twist they were doing on Mega Evolution. I mean, this could all be washed out, and this isn't even going to be close to anything they're doing for Gen 7.
And this we delete this all from the podcast.
Yeah, and like, so it doesn't even matter. But I mean, if it is, it's kind of like a cool twist on, you know, when you see new Pokemon in the anime that they start to introduce.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is, like, if this... It would be kind of weird, though, like, if it were the mechanic, and then... Like, I don't... If it were the mechanic, I don't see him taking Greninja...
No, not
straight
right away.
Away. I would I think that he would, like, send for him at some point. Like, hey, Professor Oak, use your magic teleporter to send me Greninja's balls.
Greninja! That's what his balls sound like.
But, because I just feel like if he brought Greninja straight away, he'd be way too overpowered. Not that I have a problem with that, because he should come into a new region overpowered, because... He's been through six of them already. He's on his sixth one. So he should, you know, have more than just a level 5 Pikachu when he goes to a new region. But, you know, whatever. That's how the anime works. Level 5 Pikachu and a reset brain.
Well, and...
That idiot's going to walk into Alola and see a Greninja and go, "What's that Pokemon?"
It's also weird the way they're doing it, like, I think it's neat, regardless if it ends up being part of Gen 7, like, it's kind of a different storyline, but it's kind of funny that they're doing that, because with Mega Evolution being so important, I was kind of hoping slash expecting that he would bring back maybe Charizard or Sceptile to show off Mega Evolution. And,
right.
You know, like, we got the Mega Evolution character with Charizard, and then we got, you know, his rival with Sceptile. And they could have easily given his rival, like, Mudkip or something.
Yeah, I figured he'd get one, especially with that guy Alan having the Mega Charizard X. Like, it almost seemed ripe for him to get Mega Charizard Y, and then they face off.
Yeah. And they brought back Charizard last year. They should have saved it for this year. It would be perfect for Mega Evolution showing off, but they decided to go with this whole Master Ninja bit.
This is the thing, so I'm looking through all the Mega Evolutions, right? He has a Heracross. You could give him Mega Heracross. I'd have been fine with that. Let's see, what else? He's got... he could have totally just tugged Gible around and gotten him gotten a Mega Garchomp. I'd have been fine with that. They could have done something really crazy and remembered who Pidgeot was. Plus he's got that Sceptile. And Glalie. He's got a Glalie. You know, Glalie or Sceptile. Granted, I mean, Sawyer has a Sceptile, but would have been a good tie-in for Oras. Or Pidgeot. Would have been a good tie-in since they were newly added for that. And I'm trying to think of the other sentence. Mega Blaziken. It would have been a great time to just randomly have May come back. Just because I like May. And
I thought they were going to have her come back for some sort of Oras tie-in, even if it didn't have Mega Evolution. It's kind of disappointing.
Well, yeah, well, she could have come back and she could have had either a Mega Blastoise, a Mega Blaziken, Mega Venusaur, you know, any one of those, and she could have gone Mega. Ash could have had a Mega, like they could have
not Ultra, Super Mega.
They could have had a Super Mega Showdown. Like I feel like this. I mean, it's not over, so I guess at some point they, you know, they're not done with Kalos. So in theory, they could still do it. But at least as of right now, I feel like it's a wasted opportunity. I mean, I love Greninja and what they're doing with it. But at the same time, doing a regular Mega Evolution thing would have been cool too, or bringing back these other characters that had Pokemon that can do it. I hear Gailey. I can't tell if I heard Gailey moving.
I hear it's creepy. I hear card shuffling.
That's just me.
Deal me in.
It might be Gailey.
Her footstep sounds just like cards. Anything else? Was there some? Oh, yeah, we already talked about the typing. Because I was thinking there was something new that Brian brought up that we could talk about in here, and it was the typing. So we already talked about
it. It was the typing and the new Pokemon butt.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't think there was anything else. About Pokemon. I'm so excited. I know they said that June 2nd. There's gonna be more new information. So that's about 2 weeks away. It's so crazy because we got the first trailer and I'm like, I want to see starters and I want information, hoping that it would satiate me, and then I got new information and I'm like, I need more.
It makes it worse. It's like drugs.
It is. And then I
forgot, like last Tuesday, because I had a bad day Monday. I forgot what even happened. I just know Monday was a bad day for me. And so I got up Tuesday and, it was like, I'm on my way to work, and I saw new Pokemon, and then the ghost icon things, and of course that makes me happy, and I was like, freaking out, I forgot all about Pokemon. I'm like, starters! I'm like, screaming in the car, like a crazy person.
You're like, off the road.
Well, I'm staring at my phone on Facebook, because that's what you do when you're driving to work in the morning at 7 a.m., and... It's always safe. I'm just like, it's like a picture of Mugen and Damashii and Dark Ghost, and then I see like Litten and Solgaleo. I guess it's Solgaleo if they're gonna keep the names that they found the trademarks for. I see the legendaries and all that shit. I'm freaking out. I'm like, I don't know what to do. Like, and I think that was the same day we got movie suits, huh? Like, it was all the same.
It was within the same few days. It wasn't the same day, I don't think.
Like, it was all, like, one behind the other, and I was just sitting there, like, if there was anything else that came out, I'd have had to go in the corner and just, like, rock slowly back and forth, like, I can't take it. I can't do any more today. Just let me come back tomorrow, please. I'm on information overload. But I'm really happy. I'm really excited to go on a new adventure.
You gotta finish the other ones first.
Okay, look. I'm almost done them. Like, I really am, because I've finished Black 2 and White 2. I'm just doing all the catching everything in the National Dex thing now. Just like I'm with Black and White. X, I beat Elite 4. Y, all I have to do is actually go do it, because I'm there and I'm trained and ready to go. I just have to actually go do the battles, which I'm just putting off because I was fooling with stuff on Black 2 and White 2. And then that's ORAS. We're in May. I have till the end of the year. I have till November. I have, what's that, 5 months, 6 months? So as soon as I beat Y, I'm picking ORAS back up. And so I'm almost caught up. See? I can do this. We're good.
So many Pokemon games going at once.
That's why I have notes all over my phone, keeping track of what I'm doing and what I'm doing next. Like, I look at it all day at work when I'm not, like, doing work, or if I need to unwind. Like, because everybody pulls on me at once, because my office and my job, like, they can't function without me. And so everybody's coming at me from every direction at once. And after a while, it starts to give me, like, a headache, and I start, like, I can't take it, and I don't know what to do. I need to calm down. So I just stare at anything Pokemon related for like 5 minutes, and it calms me down. My headache goes away, and I can function and work like
this
an adult.
This is why we're friends.
Like, and it really is what I do. Like, if I told them what I do, they would like wonder what the fuck is wrong with me. But I have like my little spreadsheet I have where I look at everything I've got captured and what I've seen and what I've caught, and I just kind of scroll through it and, like, kind of make some mental notes of, well, I need to go try and get this, or I got to trade this over to this version. And after a couple of minutes of that, like, I relax, I'm calm, my headache subsides. I'm like, okay, now I can do this. All right, I got to make this phone call, I got to do this, I got to order this material, and everything gets done. I can't explain it, but Pokemon is the most calming thing I do in my life. That, or just looking at a picture of Natalie smiling because she's adorable, because she looks just like her daddy, because she's the best baby ever.
What if you just looked at a picture of yourself? Like, put a bow in your hair. Boom. Same picture.
But Natalie doesn't
life
have
hack.
Natalie doesn't have the facial hair.
Well, then just shave. Boom.
With the glass.
Life hack.
Look,
again.
My wife, my face. She wants it like this. I said, shave me, and then she shaves my face. That's right. I allow her near my face and my neck with a razor blade.
As long as it's not Kaylee.
I take my wife into my own hands. Kaylee would kill me in a second and then laugh about it.
Look at all the blood.
Look, Mommy, Daddy's bleeding everywhere.
He's like, no fun. Now he's not moving anymore.
Well, I want Daddy to play a game with me now.
This just got dark. It's like the beginning of any horror movie with a kid, like, evil.
I already knew Kaylee was evil. That's why I love her. Oh my god, this is a bookshelf you can play Tetris on. This is awesome.
Speaking of Tetris,
I like Tetris. Fuck you.
I can never remember. Do we do Flash or do Shield first? I think we do Shield first. Oh shit, that's right. We did that thing. To be fair, this is the first week we started it.
Yeah.
So Michael Schofield's dead again, but it's okay. He's in some sort of weird prison. Did you watch the trailer for the new Prison Break?
No, I didn't even know it was out.
Oh, well, watch it after this was over, but there's a trailer for it. And, like, I didn't think I would have this problem because I saw Prison Break first, but I can't stop seeing it as Captain Cold and Heatwave now. But and it's funny kind of how in a semi-similar manner, at least visually, how he died.
Yeah.
But I'm surprised, but it doesn't seem like he's really leaving, because they said that, at least what I read is that he's still on contract, but he's not going to be on the ship. He's like got a regular contract over all three shows.
Got a recurring character contract for all three shows, but he's not going to be a regular on Legends anymore, which makes me sad. He's my favorite part of the show.
Agreed.
My two favorite parts of the show are Sarah's boobs, and then he's the third favorite part. But
you know what my other favorite part of the show is? Sarah's autograph.
Oh my god! Just send it! Back when you got it, we didn't even know she was going to be the White Canary. They did an entire show production.
Not going to lie, I forgot about it again until that second.
Like, they designed the suit and all this stuff happened.
But, like, I like this show. I think I like it even more because Keith Justice complains about it so much. Like, he really hates this show.
Why
it's
now?
Really dumb reasons too. He thinks that Jax is trying too hard to act black.
He is black.
Well, and like he thinks the way he talks is put on, but if you watch anything with him, even with his British accent, he sounds like that. That's just his voice.
He thinks he's written too black. He thinks they're a bunch of bumbling idiots stumbling through time, breaking things. They're not doing time travel well or something. I don't know. He's an idiot.
But they say, but they get them. Like a lot. So it's fine.
I think the appointment with this show has been Hawkgirl. Because, like, and not to be like one of those like people that's like, oh well, it's not the way Hawkgirl is in this in the comic books, but I kind of always imagined Hawkgirl to be a little bit more than Barista Girl, and like to be a little bit more warrior like and fighting and a little bit less. I make coffee yesterday and now I have wings.
Even though she's technically been on this longer than anyone, because she had the whole couple year stint in the 50s or 40s or whatever.
Yeah.
So she's been, like, further away from being a barista than a lot of the other people are from their previous lives.
Like, I don't know, I like the rest of the people. Firestorm is fantastic, I love watching White Canary. Captain Cold is just amazing. Ray is a person.
I feel like Ray got dragged down by Hot Girl.
Exactly, like, because he's had some good moments, and then, like, she's like, love my vagina, and I'm like, oh, I don't want
to. But it's got feathers in it.
Like, there's feathers, there's, like, claws around it, and I'm really kind of scared to go near it. Like, and, I'm really, there's something about Vandal Savage, like, I don't think I hate him like you do, but there's something about the way he talks that, like, I don't know he reminds me of it. Has anybody here seen the 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo?
No.
No. Has anybody know who Vincent Price is?
No.
No.
I know who Vincent Van Gogh is.
Well, Vincent Price is a
And I know who Vince Vaughn is. Does this help?
Neither of those help.
Damn it.
But he was a character in this Scooby-Doo show called The 13 Ghosts of Scooby-Doo, and he was a character called Vincent Van Ghoul, and there's like this demon chest or whatever, and
he's Ra's al Ghul's brother.
Scooby-Doo opened it and let out these 13 ghosts, and then him and Shaggy and Scrappy and a couple of other new characters that they made for this show had to go and catch these ghosts and put them back into this chest. And there's something about the way he talks reminds me of Vincent Price and the character Vincent Van Gogh. It's just the way Vincent Price talks, is that slow kind of every couple of words, and that's how he talks when he talks. Especially when he talks to Shiera, he's just like, I don't know. It's like creepy. Something fucking weird about that guy.
Yeah, it is weird because, like, when you look at him, he looks the part. It's just there's something off about him.
He looks really good now. Pedekatin. That is now stuck in my head. Thank you.
I know. It's only the way Rory says it too.
God, fucking Levani. that's my payback for you. But like I really liked it. I like when they just go around destroying the Time Masters and blowing things up. I'm gonna blow.
It was
things.
A really epic episode. Like, this episode was probably one of, the, if not the best of the series so far.
Yeah, I think so.
I liked when he shrunk Ray down and put him in his pocket.
That was really funny. Like, just so casually. Like, where's Ray? He's in my pocket.
Where's Raymond and Mick?
he does say it like that. Mick.
Like, every time.
Pachekatin and Mick. It's really awkward. It was just casual. Hey, Mick. Good morning, Mick.
I've just been wondering what the future holds for you and for me and for you and me.
And my penis.
She's like, you know I like vagina, right? And he's like, ah, me too. We have this in common.
Well, Sarah is bi, though, because she was with Oliver.
Yeah, I know. For that time. She's awesome. This is why she's awesome. But yeah, it's just so much fun to watch them all. Like,
I was really confused about Oculus for a while.
Hold on, I couldn't hear you over Kevin having a seizure. Whatever that was. What did you say?
I said I was really confused about Oculus for a while there. Like, what it meant. I get that one. I get the Rift version of Oculus. I don't get the Legends version of
Oculus. I don't either. I wish George were here.
He would be like, you see, it's like in a giant world of Oculuses that's like the neighbor to the wall. And like, and then it would be this cool explanation that they don't even use on the show.
It would relate to octopuses and tentacles or something. I don't know.
It's like, oh, everything you did was orchestrated by us. I'm like, how?
We control the universe. We're responsible for all the shitty writing for Felicity. Just to fuck with you, we're going to put Felicity in the next episode of Arrow. I mean, Felicity's mom. Again, just being annoying. Just fluttering around, being annoying.
I liked when Heatwave smashed that dude's skull.
I told you. Promise.
I made you a promise. I'm like, oh shit.
He wasn't dicking around. Mick.
Good job, Mick.
Oh god. Shit. But yeah, I'm looking for. I really want to see what they do with season. I guess season 2 is going to involve the Thanagarian invasion.
I kind of gathered that.
Yeah, see? That's context clues. Learn that in school.
But, like, I am disappointed that... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the Thanagarians, it's... what's awful about it to me is that Thanagarians is involving Hawkman and Hawkgirl.
Oh. Yeah, if you... I read that, and I was like, well...
Well, I already... Because if you watch Justice League... On there, Hawk Girl is a Thanagarian. She's an alien. And then at one point in the... I think it's Justice League and not the Unlimited one. Yeah, because she's a main character in Justice League and then shit happens at the end. Is that, like, Carter Hall shows up and he's, like, the Prince Khufu, I'm the reincarnated guy, and tries to convince her that her Shiera, the Thanagarian, is really Kendra Saunders... this reincarnated Egyptian person and his mate, and so then you're like, you don't know what the fuck is real, because she's going around saying she's a Thanagarian, she's an alien, she has her mace made of nth metal, and then here's this guy Carter, who's Hawkman and does all this shit, and then at the end of the season 2 of Justice League, the Thanagarians, which is Hawkgirl's people, come in and invade Earth. And they, they take over, and it's like, oh, Hawkgirl was just spying on Earth the entire time, and then she breaks up with Jon Stewart, and he's like, oh, I'm Phil Lamar.
Oh, hell no.
I'm mad at you. And like they end up on the run, and that's when they had that whole bit. If you there's like a clip of it that they always show of like the Justice League is they're hiding, and they're like, well, they're looking for us like this. We have to take our costumes off. And the Flash is like, you guys can't know my secret identity, whatever. And Batman just like, Clark Kent, Bruce Wayne, Wally West. And he's just like, well, I guess that's out. And so they, you know, that whole thing of the Thanagarian invasion. So I'm like, well, here we go. This is what we're doing. We're just doing the plot of the cartoon show, except live action and with different heroes. So, because they talk about the rotating cast, I'm like, I know who's not rotating out. The one I kind of want to rotate out.
Like, it's disappointing about Captain Cold, because I think he's so much better on this show. Not that I didn't like him on Flash, but he's really grown. Like, I was kind of hoping he would stay, because they talked about how since now it's, like, established in, like, a previous interview a while back, that now that it's established and they know it's, like, going to be running alongside it, that they could do more little mini crossovers like they do with Flash and Arrow. But, like, that's what I was hoping for, is that he would stay as part of the team, but maybe show up on the Flash. I don't know why he would be on Arrow. They'd just be like, who dat? But, like, because I'd love for Barry to see how much both of them have changed.
Yeah.
So that's kind of important. Like, I like both of them, and I think they did some really cool stuff with both, but if I had to choose one to have not come back, it would have been Nick.
I like how he told Ray, if you tell the others I care, what did he tell him? I'm going to punch you in the face or something like that.
He's going to shave his head.
Shave your head. That's what it was. I loved it. I'm going to shave your head. And he got really scared because he loves his hair. Like, oh shit. This is what wins the ladies.
So, it'll be interesting to see how they bring him back. Or whatever they do with him. I mean, probably, like I said, being a president, just watch that trailer. Teabags.
I'm really interested to see who is going to be returning and who's going to be rotated out and who they're going to bring in. I don't know.
I hope Sarah stays.
They're casting, I think, like two new people, I guess, as heroes.
We know Captain Cold's out. My cat just scratched my elbow.
Oh.
He jumped up on the desk and went, meow, and
then there Lobo, goes my elbow. Like, I don't know what Brad Garrett is doing. Hey, baby, the main man is here. This big fucking motorcycle.
I don't even know what's happening.
You don't know who Lobo is?
No.
Well, you're missing out.
Am I, though?
I remember him from Young Justice.
He was in Justice League, voiced by Brad Garrett, and he likes to refer to himself as the main man.
Don't remember it.
He thinks very, very highly of himself.
It sounds like it.
And he has, like, a flying motorcycle. He rides around on.
I hope they rotate in Hornblower finally. I hope we find out Earth 3 Diggle is Hornblower.
God.
What if they do a storyline in Supergirl next season where one of the people they go up is a metahuman that's Diggle is Hornblower? I don't know, like, how the metahuman part would work, though. Like, it can just, like, follow air really hard so it makes the music powerful. I don't know.
Now, this is what I want to know, because, like, they destroyed that Oculus thing, so does that mean that they can't, like, save people from dying now? Like, because they said something about they can't manipulate time, so does that mean, like, we can't save Laurel using time travel?
No, I think it's just that the Time Masters can't manipulate time.
Like, yeah, like, they can't do, like, the manipulation they were doing from the Oculus. Like, you can still... Otherwise, like, a lot of the premise of the show would be lost.
Yeah. Well, why are they on an island?
Well... What?
You said a lot of the premise of the show would be lost.
Oh, it took me a minute. I was like, what are you talking about? Because otherwise, like, if that was the case and they couldn't manipulate time, they would be fucked because... aren't all of their younger versions still staying at the house of that lady that worked for the Great Intelligence?
With the British lady. They're with Rory's mom.
So, yeah, I don't think it's that, because otherwise they would lose premise.
So if that's Rory's mom, is she married to Ron Weasley's dad?
But she's not his real mom, and she's, like, she's really, like, mentally sick because the Great Intelligence stole her when she was young.
Well, that's true.
I don't know if there was anything else in this episode I wanted to specifically bring up, because Captain Cold died, they all did epic shit, and they wrecked shit. Oh, and Jax came back, and I like the idea of...
I acting with his, with Stein when he went back.
Yeah, like, it was cool because of how they did it with Jax, you know, past Jax being all like, oh, I don't want to go because reasons, and then to have future Jax show up. I can't believe I didn't think about that as a way he would get back.
I like how he's like, how did you change your clothes so fast? What are you doing? What is happening here? That was fun.
Since we know Wentworth Miller has like a cross show continuing contract, how do you think they're gonna bring him back?
Probably find a way to go like use their time shift to scoop him up. Yeah, they'll fuck with time some kind of way to scoop him up. I don't understand why they didn't just like take
time
something.
Scoop.
I don't know why they didn't just like, oh, we have to be holding onto this button the entire time. Alright, well, find like a stick or something.
Just like a rubber band or something?
Well, someone said, why didn't they just do the thing that he did before and freeze the arm in there, break it, and then repair it in the ship?
They probably didn't think about that. They were too busy sacrificing themselves. They were too busy with all that.
Everyone was too busy trying to be a hero.
Like... Ray's like, I'm gonna do this and sacrifice myself, and Mick's like, no, you're not. I'm gonna do it. And then Captain Cold came in and was like, no, you're not, Mick. Like, well, fuck. Like, I don't know what's happening.
I'm gonna
anymore.
Do it. Mick.
And then Sarah was like, make out with me. I want some of this dick now.
He's like, don't you mean you want some of this Mick? I mean, wait. God. I mean, given his circumstances of dying in that like time field, there's some pretty science fiction-y ways they could bring him back. I'm just not sure what, but it'll definitely be a thing since they said
he returns as like a different character. Like he's like
we never did see Mayor Snart.
Well, like, he's still Leonard Snart, but, like, he returns as with some other kind of ability or something, I don't know. From the explosion, it made him, I don't know, Time Boy or something, I don't know.
It's gonna be, he's gonna accidentally get put in a different body, and it's gonna be Sucre.
He's gonna come back as the Doctor.
Wentworth Miller for 13th Doctor.
he's gonna say you're after Doctor and be like, hello, Rory. I'm like, oh, fuck. Here we go.
Ah, oh, here it goes. Kenan and Kel. Anyway. But speaking of Kenan and Kel, The Flash?
What? You get Kenan and Kel out of that.
Since when are abrupt and nonsensical segues new? Why is it surprising?
Because they're usually not that nonsensical.
I mean, Kenan and Kel were in the episode. You don't remember it? That was Cisco and Caitlin pretending to be Vibe. What's his name?
Reverb
and... Killer Frost, that was basically Kenan and Kel. I don't even know where I'm going with this. I didn't expect to have to explain myself.
Did they do a Good Burger sketch too? Did they?
That's exactly what they did. They
just went around with some orange soda.
They did a Good Burger sketch, and then they got called out because they don't know it's only Big Belly Burger.
Where does orange soda fit in?
Everywhere.
I see.
But yeah. Good riddance, deadbeat dad. I mean, I was sad for Barry, but I was kind of happy he's dead because I don't like him. So I was rooting for Zoom a little bit in that moment. It was so obvious, though, that it was going to happen. Like, they practically telegraphed it, like, two episodes ago when he's like, I'm staying. And then this episode, they have that, like, emotional, like, sort of argument. It's like, oh, you just have a thing on the back of your, on your back, like, one of those kick me signs that just says, kill me. Like, it's just, like, they're telegraphing it. Zoom's like, what a hilarious prank.
And then don't forget the thing where his mother's maiden name is Garrick, so that's going to be a thing.
Yeah, he'll probably be the man in the Iron Mask or something. And
yep, he'll be the man in the Iron Mask, and then it'll be the real Jay Garrick, and he'll still be
on and
the
And then
show.
Barry's going to be like, Dad!
But I mean, but because I knew the actor wasn't going to become a regular, so I mean, if they make him Jay Garrick, they can maybe bring him back on occasion, but, you know, they're not going to...
And really give Barry some issues.
I mean, it really doesn't matter because he has Joe, which is the black dad you've always wanted. If you have Joe as your dad, you give up. You've won the lottery. You don't need any other prison dad that you finally get him out of prison and he's like, see, I'm going to go live in a cabin. What the fuck's your problem, dude?
Well, he knew that Barry had his black dad. When you need your black dad, you don't need anybody else.
I mean, it was in reality, it was probably Felicity's mom that told him to go. She's just going around like her evil plan is to make sure no one has dads. That was exactly how it went down. That's my new headcanon.
Oh my god. Felicity's mom's a whore.
But I mean, I'm sad because for Barry, but I guess I just don't like his dad, so I'm glad he's off the table. And it makes for an interesting concept of they really talked about like the similarities between Barry and Zoom's origins and Zoom basically trying to make Barry break like he did. And I think that it kind of shows a little bit too, like the way he's going so far is he is a little bit afraid of Barry because Barry came out, you know, he took his speed and then he came back with it and he's like Speed Force Jesus now. And everyone's trying to rain on his mellow. He's like, we can do this because the Speed Force is with us.
The Speed Force is with us. Always.
He's going to become, after this, he's going to become like Kylo Ren, and when Jesse and Wally get their powers, he's like, you need a teacher! I can show you the ways of the Speed Force! I killed my own dad!
I have an 8-pack. I'm shredded.
But, like, I can
teach
another...
you how to get angry and destroy computers.
That was another good example of, like, why I don't like Barry's dad, is that he even, like, outright said it to Barry's dad when he's, like, raining on his parade about his confidence. He's like, why are you trying to take this away from me, man? Because all it really is just he does know a little bit more about the way the Speed Force works than they do, and it's just a level of confidence, and there really isn't anything wrong with it. I mean, they're probably going to try to say, like, oh, because you were overly confident, what's his name, died, but that really is not the reason. The reason is because he's a jerk. Yeah, what's his name? Mick.
Mick.
Name's not Mick. I don't even remember you. Earth 2 Laurel made me feel things in my special bathing suit places.
Oh, God.
It made me sadder that Laurel's not on the show anymore.
Well, what...
I'm glad they didn't kill her. Because, like, what a F you to Katie Cassidy would it be if they killed her?
Like, you're dead twice.
Because they kill everyone on Earth, too. They're about to kill everyone.
I think what sucks the most is that, like, she was so bad to the point that I don't see her being good and being a regular. Unless they do some crazy-ass brainwashing.
I don't think they'll have her be a regular. I think that since they did leave her alive, there's potential to bring her back and give her some more dimensions. I think that just right now she was meant to serve a singular purpose. But I think it would be great if they brought her back to delve more into why that Laurel became the Canary. Like, I think we talked about possibly being connected to what happened to Oliver. And, like, if she met Oliver, it would be good material for a crossover. Like, even if it was, like, not the big event one, but maybe, like, a smaller one where Ollie comes over or something. Or maybe she escapes to Arrow. I think that there could be something cool there. There's a lot of people saying that, which I think it would be cool if they did somehow make her become like the Laurel of our show again, but I don't think that'll happen, but I think that there's potential for it if they decide not to make her like One Note Evil.
And like, yeah, and I guess there is a concept, like, if she were to meet like Earth One Oliver, that she could change or something like that.
Yeah. But I don't know. Like, I enjoyed seeing her because she was pretty hot in this episode. But like, I don't think that they were, her purpose was to be more dimensional, just because. But I guess Killer Frost really wasn't that much. I mean, neither was Vibe. I keep on calling him Vibranium for some reason. Reverb, but I mean, I'm glad they left her alive for future potential, because I think it would be a waste to waste her, Oliver, or even just for to potentially interact with Oliver, I mean, or even just for the Flash. I like how all these Earth 2 people are stuck in Earth 1 jail. That's like the ultimate nightmare of someone that's afraid of like getting thrown in jail in a foreign country. Like, there's like no records for them, and what if they like scan their fingerprints and it's like, oh, he's at home in Ohio or something, but no, he's right here.
He's at home in Ohio.
I don't know. I was trying to pick somewhere bland.
You nailed that one, let me tell you.
Ohio sucks.
That's a bit.
I was trying to help.
Like, honestly, obviously, what happened to Wally and Jesse will probably play a role in them getting powers later, but I'm honestly surprised it didn't happen yet, because I was thinking what was going to happen was with Zoom and then with all the metas that they were going to need more help, and they were going to get their powers, and like that was going to be
how that's what I was thinking about too, but it was just super Barry.
Yeah, so, yeah, because that would have been a cool way to introduce him, because Barry's still, I mean, by this point in Arrow, we were getting Roy about to start getting his identity as Arsenal, and Sarah was there, and it's like Barry's still on his own. I mean, we had Firestorm, but he spun off. But yeah, I mean, I like the way they did it though, and the way they're headed with it, and making Wally sort of a bit more of a hero before it happens. But I'm just kind of surprised. But it gives you something to look forward to, I guess. There's something specific that Cisco said that was really funny that I really wanted to remember, and I can't think of what it was.
When he did the Leroy Jenkins a couple weeks ago, that was fun.
That's not helping me now, though.
Leroy
Jenkins. I did like them pretending to be their Earth 2 counterparts, because it was like a good performance, because you could tell it was them trying to act like the other them. And I don't know why, but I thought it was funny they were standing behind that, like, sort of wall. Like, as if it protected them. Like, if we stand behind this unbuilt wall, she won't even be able to get us. Damn it, Brian! I heard the toilet flushing.
I did too, I'm scared.
You done getting caught.
We were flushed along with Brian.
You don't know my life.
Brian flushed us with his poop.
And Cisco got to get powers for the first time. I mean, like, offensive powers. Like, he offended everyone. He said, I don't like the new Ghostbusters movie. And they're like, oh my god! And then Laurel fell over from the sexism. That's how it went down. But that was cool. I was not expecting him to do that.
That guy is an asshole.
What else? Somebody else say something. Brian's rummaging for, like, pills or something. I don't even know what's happening.
Brian's an addict. He needs help.
Brian, get out of the attic and get over here.
I need my fix.
Right, we'll just pause and wait then.
Nope.
Too late. I'm already paused.
Unpause.
It sounds just like pause, I'm gonna be honest.
I do. Well, I need to get more water.
God damn it, Brian!
No, Lord, here we go.
There it goes.
Next thing I need is going to be peeing again. It's a cycle. It's a circle. So I'll sit and wait for Brian to be done peeing and getting water.
is the bloopers. It's just the silence of waiting for Brian to get water.
The funny thing is that you think that's going to be bloopers.
It's just going to be in the show, just this awkward silence. The whole show is a blooper.
That's just true.
All right,
so what were you saying? Something about...
I was just trying to get somebody else to say something. Well, yeah, I was just trying to get someone else to say something other than me about anything about the episode.
It was cool, I liked it.
Good job, Brian. That was worth the wait.
I mean, I've said most of my piece about it. I mean, I don't care about Henry dying. It's one of those things where it's, like, necessary for character growth, and I don't care about him, so it's fine.
And not having to bring him back as often. I just hope Barry doesn't dwell on it as much. Like, he just stopped dwelling on his mom's death, and now this is like, God damn it, man.
Yeah, it kind of sucks to be him, but hey.
But he's got a black dad. That's all he needs.
He's fine.
Got Joe. And, I mean, he doesn't have Peace Bibs anymore, which is disappointing. So he just got to settle for Iris, which is basically a placeholder for Peace Bibs. Everyone knows it.
Yeah, well...
I'm surprised she never came back. I thought she was going to come back even for, like, an episode in, like, this last quarter of the show, but she never did. Earth 2 Peace Bibs would have been a cool metahuman. Evil Peace Bibs? Oh, my God. Okay. Need to settle down. Settle down, Dawson.
As long as she looked as good as Earth 2 Laurel does.
Exactly. That's why I'm freaking out, like, internally.
That's why I'm freaking out, man.
Freaking out! Let's see. I don't think anything else. Next week, hopefully, should be a good finale. It's going to be shitty, though, because that means no more Flash for, like, 3 months or 4 months. No longer, because they always come back in October. Everyone else comes back in September, and they're always like, boom, October, and they're like, fuck you. Come back earlier.
The wait is endless. This is a true hiatus.
Trying to kill all their shows. The CW is like, let's just genocide our whole block by putting it on summer hiatus. Like everything.
Done. All of it's over.
Okay. Well, Arrow then?
Yeah.
Arrow. So... they blew up Suburbia. They're like, fuck you, Pleasantville, and then they killed it. Boom, see, okay,
a chunk of Star City's gone. That city just can't stay whole.
I know, like, it's such a joke at this point. It's kind of like last season when he said, the city's under attack, must be May. And, like, I hope that next season's whatever is more in the shadows. Like, not even, probably ninjas, because, let's face it, it's happening. but, like, a conflict that's, like, it feels important, but, like, it's not, it doesn't create a citywide panic or anything, just because it is getting a bit repetitive, even though this conflict is definitely different, in some ways. It's right in my face. It's definitely different. But, like, it's becoming less and less believable that, like, people would want to stay in Starling City, and... I mean, they do are kind of using it, which is neat, of trying to drive Oliver to give people hope, because, like, even those people are like, you know what, this city's so fucked that we're gonna just go along with this genocide. I mean, could they have just not moved cities? Like, they didn't have to be like, alright, we could move to somewhere boring, or we could just go along with this genocide plan. Wait. There's a definite middle ground there that's not being explored by you people.
We could move somewhere nice, like Coast City, or we could just stay here and possibly die. Oh wait, a third option just popped up. We can go with this genocide plan and live underground.
I mean, I like what this guy who's talking did in Paul Blart 2, so I think I'll just follow him. It's like, I don't know what their thinking is. But I mean, like I said, there's some cool...
I mean.
Exactly. There's some cool things they're sort of doing with that, of trying to further Oliver's character and, like, that idea of becoming a better symbol, but it's just kind of funny now. I mean, it is the Glades, so, you know, it's like the projects. Poor Glades. I don't think anyone lives there anymore. I think it's just a bunch of homeless people.
That seems accurate.
But there was a lot of cool things about the episode. Like, I liked a lot of the fight scenes, and I liked seeing them fight in the, like, Dome City, just because it was a different environment for them to be fighting in. I thought the Thea brainwashing was really unnecessary. Like,
I don't really get the purpose.
Like, yeah, exactly. Like, all it did was just sort of drag things out a little bit.
It didn't, like, it didn't really need to either, so...
Yeah. There was somebody that was saying something about why was Oliver able to get through to him, but, like, Diggle couldn't get through to his brother. I'm like, his brother was taking those pills for, like, a really long time. She took, like, one. So... it's not the same, but like all it really did was just sort of drag the events out, which it really didn't need to, because they still could have like rescued Thea and then fought some soldiers and then, you know, found out about Anarchy. I don't know, it just seemed unnecessary.
All it did was really give Thea another reason to hate Malcolm, and she's got enough already, she doesn't need any more.
And, like, seeing Malcolm's hand just really drove home how much cooler Coulson's replacement hand is.
I know.
Like, his is like a winter glove. It's just, like, not exciting.
Bro, you can't even summon Quinjets.
And you don't even have a shield. I really liked Curtis in this episode. I thought he was funny. He was basically being Felicity for Felicity in that scene. And, like, I liked the stuff going on there, except for Felicity's mom. Like, I get that they want to do stuff with both the parents being there, but it just didn't seem like the right time. Like, especially her arguing with him when they're trying to do something serious seemed really stupid, like, on her part, as, like, a really selfish thing.
I forgot she didn't know.
Yeah, like, and she still doesn't know that Oliver's the Arrow, even though it's super obvious. But, yeah, like, just after she found out what they were doing, it seemed really bitchy to keep, like, taking jabs at him and snoring right in his face. Like, when he's trying to do something serious. It's just like we're acting the situation out right now, trying to do something serious, just right in your face. I'm just picturing, like, a classic cartoon scenario of somebody just, like, lying there and, like, a dog, like, breathing in their face and, like, their, like, lips are flapping in the wind of their own breath. That's what it sounds like.
I agree. It was... I'm not a huge fan of her in the first place. She has moments, and moments are fine, but it wasn't the time. It's like... They just needed this reason for her dad to split again. It was basically just because her mom's like, get the fuck away. And that was...
Yeah.
It's really... It's stupid in the first place. Because, yeah, I mean, sure, he's a wanted criminal. But they were gelling pretty good.
Yeah, and, like, I kind of hope now that there's a bigger, like, a darker reason for why she wants him to stay away. Because... They sort of made it seem like it. Otherwise, she's just kind of being selfish. Because if it's just that he's a criminal... I mean, it sounds like, oh, just that he's a criminal. But, I mean... It was a pretty shitty thing to do to make Felicity think that her dad abandoned her. And then even in the one now, she didn't even let him say goodbye to her. Why not? Why not just let him walk in and say, peace, and then leave, at least? Like, all around, she's just not coming off as a character... Like, I didn't really like her either, but it's like she's not doing any favors for herself. And, like, her presence usually is, like, one of those things where I feel like they're putting too much focus on Felicity and, like, oh, everyone loves Felicity, let's bring in all her family. And I think that she did that again here when I liked Felicity's dad in this particular storyline because I think it worked and it didn't feel like a Felicity pimping moment or anything. And I think having her in there just kind of ruined what could have even been better scenes because I liked the two working together. And I like Curtis being there to be sort of more comic relief when Felicity needed to be a bit more serious because she had a couple, like, funny lines, but, like, she would be a little bit more serious because of the situation and also because she just, you know, did the whole blowing up the town thingy. It's kind of a drag. But there were some good moments to that. She just kind of was dragging it down. Uglier Nadia was a thing. She's like, I go make bowling, death. Grenades. I broke the groom's penis. It's crazy how slow those scenes go. Like, they'll be like, flashback, and they'll walk three paces. And then it'll be like, back to the present. Flashback, walk three paces. Back to the present. Flashback, eyes turn yellow. Back to the present. It's like, Jesus, we get so little done.
They're so boring.
Yeah, I really hope season 5 is better, since it's basically their last one.
I'm not gonna lie, I was pretty happy when she got shot. And then she wasn't dead, and I cried a little.
Yeah, I kind of figured that she wouldn't have, because of the whole, like, idol thing. She'll probably die by the end of this, though.
Why does she have magical powers?
Because she's holding the head thing. I think that's how it works. It's like a really dangerous game of hot potato. And if you don't let it go, it gives you evil magic powers. I love how, like, dumb and, like, cartoony almost her motivations were all of a sudden. She's like, you know, the more I hold this head and absorb evil powers, the more I realize I need to go home and kill our dictator. Or whatever the hell. Like, even ignoring that she would have a lack of empathy for the people, like, they're running for their lives, and she's like, you know what, I'm not even worried about my life, I need to go home right now and kill this dictator. Like, it just seems so funny.
I need to get this guy immediately.
It's the flashbacks. I think, like, last year's were weaker, but I still think they were better. It's kind of crappy because, like, the past two have been weak because I like the idea of potentially getting off the island, and hopefully next year there's that. One thing I do kind of like, even though I'm not a huge fan of Anarchy, I do like this sort of, it's been going throughout the last few episodes, the concept of, because of the prison break, having these various villains that have showed up at Damien's disposal. Like the hacker guy from the Felicity episode, or like Anarchy really wasn't his disposal, but I mean, I just like, or the weird mouth guy, and there was another one. Oh, the guy that was, I still don't know whether he has powers that, like, can't get shot. The from when Oliver was dead last season, I forget his name.
Yeah,
Brickwell. But like, I just like those, like, seeing those faces again. Like, it's just kind of a neat little thing to have a bunch of villains running around.
Who was Nose Guy?
Nose Guy? Did I say Nose Guy?
Yeah.
I said Mouth Guy, didn't I?
Never mind, I got my body parts confused. Who's yeah, Mouth Guy?
With, like, the mouth that's sewed shut or whatever. Nose Guy.
Oh, okay.
Remember Knockoff Peter Capaldi?
Yeah.
He got killed. I was really happy. Like, that's two deaths in the DC TV that made me happy this week was Henry, and I hate Damian Dark's wife. She has this, like, old bitchy face, and she's such a... she's like an evil Stepford wife, and I just hate her. And, like, just her whole demeanor. So I was glad she died. Like, when they stopped Anarchy from stabbing her, I was like, no! And then when everything went crazy and he stabbed her, I was like, yes! I was, like,
I'm gonna do this anyway.
Like, and I honestly didn't expect that city to go down in this episode, which was kind of nice. Like, that they...
Like, it's gone as fast as it appeared.
Yeah. It is kind of disappointing in a way, though, just because it could turn around next week, but now it's making his motivations just as simple as, I want to destroy everything, whereas before it was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, he's, like... And he's jumping the gun. Like, his wife's dead, but he doesn't have confirmation on his daughter, and you don't go full crazy before you have confirmation. His daughter's creepy looking too. She looks like she's gonna be in the sequel to Orphan. Like, it's disturbing. Like, she has a giant forehead and, like, looks like she's gonna murder, and but, you know, it could end up playing out differently, but right now it just looks like the classic motivations of, like, let's just destroy everything, and he's gonna, like, shoot his magic at people next week. It does look really cool.
Exactly what you mean.
Like, next week, one thing I think is going to be cool is, like, Oliver rallying people in the city as himself. I think he'll become mayor probably by the end.
Yeah, probably.
I think that it wasn't perfect, but if that happens, it'll be one of the cooler elements of the season, the way they went about it.
Right.
In a way that makes sense. But yeah, it definitely was a better episode this week. It's just there was a few pockets of it, but these last ones have definitely been an improvement. I really hope they smooth things out next season. Because I kind of hate that Arrow's become my least favorite of the three.
I know, because I liked it so much.
I don't know why the Avengers just don't come in and help him.
Where's Superman?
Why doesn't Flash come help Oliver? Why doesn't Oliver go help Flash? Because they're both really busy right now. Both Central City and Starling City are fucked at the moment.
Why didn't the Flash just come to the Vanishing Point and save all the Legends of Tomorrow?
Exactly. Like, why didn't that happen?
Where's Green Lantern?
Why didn't Ryan Reynolds just show up and get super meta?
That is a real question, though. Where is Green Lantern? I mean, come on, guys.
All the teases.
I forgot the context in the episode, but it was actually in the Flash episode, I think, where they said Blackest Night, and it just made me think of Green Lantern, and then I got sad that we don't have any representation of Green Lantern again.
It was a roller coaster of emotions over, like, one line. Since this is, like... Yeah, because this is the end of the line for our DC discussion. So, like, because we didn't talk about it in the news, but Supergirl is officially moving to the CW, which is super cool.
I'm so happy. Like,
I know.
I understand, like, the cast might get cut a little bit and the effects won't be as good. But just it being there opens up so many possibilities for dimensional crossovers and everything, and it makes me so excited.
Yeah, and, like... I'm not even too worried about the effects because Flashes can be pretty damn good. Like, look at Gorilla Grodd and King Shark, and sometimes his speed ones aren't that perfect, but other times they're really cool. Like, I remember that train sequence from season one being pretty impressive when he saved all the people on the train. So I'm not too worried about that. But yeah, I mean, I'm curious. I still think they probably would have set it in a different universe if it had been on CW from the start, given the Superman thing they kind of have to do.
Yeah.
But I think that's good, because regardless of whether it had been there the full time, it opens up the multiverse more, which I think is neat. And they can do all sorts of things
with, like, different characters and different versions of characters now.
Yeah, and like, it was perfect timing for the suggesting of the crossover when it was on before, and then now, because Flash just opened up the multiverse stuff. So, like you said, it really opens up doors for... Like, now it's... Basically, like, I'm not even concerned about the possibility of doing a reverse crossover where Kara visits the Flash now, so we can have Cisco react to shit. That's really all I want. Even Legends would be a cool one to do, given all the different hopping they do. Get Ollie some action in there at some point. He has no cool dimension stuff. I have a suburban dad that flings magic around. Yeah, but... but there's just all kinds of possibilities, and... Even before the network move, they did talk about what you just mentioned about potentially having, like, doppelgangers on the various Earths, and I think that'll be fun. So I'm super excited for it. Like, not just because it's continuing, but because it opens up all of that so much more. And I think that it will flourish more on that network because they don't put quite as much stock into ratings as the other networks.
Yeah, and they said the highest, like, rating that it got on CBS was, like, more in line with the CW's target audience. Yeah. And less in line with CBS's target audience. And, I mean, it fits so well with its, like, its brothers and sisters in all the other Berlanti shows. So it just makes sense.
Yeah. And, like I said, the CW kind of looks at all the other things that matter more. So that'll be nice.
I'm just glad it's not gone. Like, yeah, I'm glad that was an option and an idea for them to pursue instead of just outright canceling it.
Yeah. Apparently, which I didn't even think... Because that one makes more sense given all the production-y stuff, but Limitless, which is the other show I was pulling for, might have that happen too. I don't know where it'll go, but I hope it does. And it's cool to see that happen because it is pretty rare. You don't see it that often outside of stuff like... I think Cougar Town moved from, like, ABC to... DBS and stuff like Community coming back on Yahoo for one season and then Yahoo screen collapsed, but hey, we got our final season. It's fine. But yeah, so that's super exciting news. Okay. Now we can talk about the train wreck at S.H.I.E.L.D. because the Avengers didn't show up. And we can do the joke again, but... Why didn't they call all 1.5 Avengers that are standing? But I really like
the finale. They call all the Avengers that aren't fugitives.
Like, can they just send Rhodey and he's just in a wheelchair? All he does is advise them. But yeah, I really did like the episodes. I love that the show isn't afraid to evolve. Not that there isn't a lot of shows I watch that aren't afraid to evolve, but there is also a lot of shows that I watch that are afraid to fuck with the status quo. And if they do, it'll be like 2 or 3 episodes, and then they'll revert to form. And I love that S.H.I.E.L.D. is constantly evolving. And like that, I don't want to fully jump ahead, but just the ending few minutes really reflects that.
The ending opened up so many questions.
Yeah. Like, why isn't Coulson director anymore? The biggest one. It's probably Nick Fury again. What if it's Mustache Man? Not Tony Stark.
Oh god.
Talbot. There we go.
No. I'd rather it be Robin Sparkles than Mustache Man.
Oh, that would be cool. Damn, that would be cool. That was something I forgot to mention, is that in our Civil War discussion, it was kind of weird that she wasn't in it or brought up.
Yeah, because she wasn't mentioned at all.
Yeah, because she was at the facility at the end of Ultron, and like I'm not really mad she wasn't in it, because there was a lot of characters. I mean, granted, her being more of a backgroundish character would have been fine too, just to have her presence. But like a mention would have been nice, just because it's kind of a weird, because she's like a pseudo main character to the Avengers. So I hope she shows up later, like in, she could show up in one of the random movies, but in Infinity War for sure. But I remember when How I Met Your Mother ended, I was pulling for her to become a regular, and I actually think that would be pretty cool. I wouldn't mind that at all. Whether or not she stayed director, I think it could be interesting. But yeah, that would be kind of neat. I didn't even think about that. But yeah, that opened up
a lot of
stuff.
As long as it's not Talbot, because I hate Talbot.
Who was it that made some sort of funny comment about his mustache?
Like, it was the doctor guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm drawing a blank on his name off the top of my head, but...
The guy from The Mummy, that's what I call him. But it's funny, because, like, he did kind of get excited at the science prospect when Hive brought up the project, but they were kind of treating him shitty for the fact that he like, 80% did all of that because his life was being threatened.
Yeah, and would make creepy... As George from Creepy Foreskin Putties too.
Yeah.
If we're gonna get killed by a megalomaniac.
And not to mention, he was willing to go along with Jem and Gemma before he got kidnapped, so it's like they could have cut him a little bit of slack.
Yeah.
So he was a pretty funny presence in the episode, and it looks like he's gonna have more of a role next season, which is kind of neat. Like, he wasn't just a one-off character for this little arc. And hi, Vilgax. all these Vilgaxes, man. I mentioned this on Twitter, but I was surprised about how many people were crying spoilers over Ward dying, because I always assumed that this was his last year.
Like, yeah, when he became Hive, I knew it was done.
Yeah,
like, unless they didn't kill Hive, he was done.
Yeah, because even when I was thinking, even if they didn't kill Hive, I imagine they would trap him, so even if he came back, he would never come back as a regular. He would potentially come back as a villain that either reoccurred or would come back for one final stand later, but I never imagined he would be a regular again. So it's like, Brett was already basically leaving the show when Coulson killed him, and I was worried at first it was like a kind of a crappy way to extend him being on the show, but it ended up being great, because he did fantastic as
he
Hive.
He did so good. In these two episodes in particular, when they, like, fried his brain...
Yeah.
He was doing such a good job of doing that back-and-forth emotions. It was great.
Yeah. Because he not only had to play bits of Ward and Hive, but also of, like, Will and stuff. Although I like how those are the only people he flashes back to, even though there's, like, dozens in him. It's fine. But,
they don't matter.
Yeah, like, I mean, in general, over the show... People say this all the time, but he basically had to play three characters with Hive, real Ward, and then, like, fake, perfect S.H.I.E.L.D. Ward. And it's so funny, because back when the first season started, when I quit it, I was like, God, he's such a boring, generic, heroic character. And then he became, like, one of the most complicated, both, like, before and after Hive. Like, you never would have guessed.
I
guess that's what was so cool about the twist. But yeah, I always assumed it was his last one. And you're sad to see him go, but at the same time, I'm glad that they didn't overstay his welcome. Like, Ward died as Ward at the right time, and him as Hive worked really well. Because not only did the actor pull it off, but it also gave this extra sort of emotional weight to Hive's presence, because everyone on some level felt responsible for it, and not to mention their connection with Ward. So it was a smart move that I'm glad worked out.
Yeah.
I knew Lincoln was going to die because someone wrote Lincoln dies really big in the comments on a Captain America video I watched. And I kind of assumed it because I didn't see them getting rid of anybody else. I like how they tried to make us think about when they leapfrogged the jacket.
Oh my god. They were leapfrogging everything. Like, the necklace went here, the necklace went there, and then the jacket went into play, and then the jacket went to Daisy, and then the jacket went to this person. I'm like, don't do this. I'm texting George back and forth as I'm watching this. And we keep having, like, the identical reactions to the jacket flopping, and then we were both happy that Mac was safe.
Yeah.
Like, I got a big text that's like, he dropped that bitch.
He's like, oh, hell no. This thing's hot. Like, I ain't dying. Everyone else that came into my wave is gone. Their show got canceled.
But I agree, like, it was kind of like, with the prospect of them wanting to do, like, an actual Secret Warriors or Secret Avengers or whatever, with, like, Rogue Daisy, like, him sacrificing himself for her would be character motivation for that to happen.
Yeah.
And none of the other characters would have really had that push for her. She would have felt terrible regardless, but with it being, like, the person that she loved,
I think it was Mac the only logical thing to do. Because of their friendship.
Yeah, but Mac would have worked, but I would have cried.
May also would have worked because she trained her, but actually, damn it, Brian, you're making me argue against you. Coulson would have worked too because of all their connections, but
well, I agree about Lincoln being Coulson, a good one. And they can't kill May.
Yeah. Well, I was going to bring that up too, but yeah, I agree with you though that his, in particular, with because her loving him and also because he's an Inhuman, also. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, a lot of them could have worked. And when I was thinking about it, even though I knew Lincoln died, I mean, I hate to say this because I love May and I love Fitz and Simmons, but if they died, it wouldn't be as big of a hole in the show as if they were to kill Daisy or Coulson, because they're like the main characters. Because right. Coulson's like the reason we're here, and Daisy's become like this huge center of everything. And like, I would hate for May or Fitz or Simmons to die because like I love Fitz Simmons, and but like they wouldn't have left as big of a plot hole, I guess, that they would need to fill. But it's kind of unfortunate with Lincoln because I'm not really sad over it because he was kind of not that great of a character this year. And it's unfortunate because I kind of liked him in season two and I was looking forward to seeing him in this season because I liked his character and I liked the actor on another show I watched on the CW, which I can't remember the name of it at the moment, but Tomorrow People. But he kind of fell flat for me this year, and so I'm not that broken up over it, other than I like what it did for, what it's going to do for Daisy. And I wasn't sad for him, but I really loved the scene of before he and Hive died, of them just sort of quietly, they didn't fight, they just kind of quietly accepted their fate, like almost on this common ground and understanding in a way. It was just a really nicely shot scene.
It was very poetic.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is kind of beautiful.
Yeah, it was really well done. And I like how, like, in the moment, it was a very nicely done scene of, like, when he said, Hive said, I was just trying to make things better. But, like, when I was reflecting on it just now when I was thinking what I was going to say, it almost seems like a kid saying, I was just trying to do better. And he's like, I know. And then they die. But, yeah, it was very well done with that. And Mac shotgun axe to totally go away from an emotional moment to something badass. God. Mac is the best. He totally redeemed anything I didn't like about him from when he was a super racist.
Like, shotgun axe is just give me a one-to-one replica immediately.
Oh, so cool. what else went down in this episode. It was so crazy. Like, I don't know if this is so crazy, but, like, crazy Daisy of, like, when she went back to be reabsorbed into Hive, because at first I was thinking, what the fuck, bitch? But then I remembered it's like a drug, like, when people are going through withdrawal and they want to shoot up again. Yeah, and, like, that made it more interesting, because it's like, you know that emotionally she hates what he did, and she wants to stop him, but, like, she's going through those physical withdrawals, and that's really just, like, cool stuff. And the fight scene was so cool.
Like,
the fight scene, her, like, blocking with, like, waves and shit, like, she gets the coolest fight scenes. That was awesome. But those last few minutes, it's like so much to think about. Like, I love where they're going with her in terms of, like, when we saw the scene, because we both saw it, I was thinking back to what George was saying about how amongst all of the characters we've seen, we've spent the most time with her. And I really thought about that, because, like, how much she's changed since we first met her in episode one. And it's interesting because she's sort of in a similar position where she's on her own now, in sort of a solo rogue position, but her character is also so different now. She's been through so much, and it all makes sense. And, like, I never would have guessed that's where she ended up, like, when from the first season, when they're like, oh, Sky's special. I'm like, oh, this is boring. It's just a generic special person storyline, and then she really ended up being special. Past me is a jerk.
A little bit.
Yeah, pretty much. But... who just wanders aimlessly around Infamous making insults where he has no business. But I'll be interested to see how it turns out.
There's so many questions, like, what's the state of S.H.I.E.L.D.? What's the state of Daisy?
Yeah, and because she has the name Quake by the newspapers, which is just cool. There was one thing I saw today about Chloe Bennett, like, called out Marvel in, like, a panel at a con about how she's sort of frustrated that they never acknowledge what the show's doing. And I don't know if we talked about this at all last week, because I talked about it a bit with George, and it's like, I don't really care about the Avengers showing up in this show, but I think it would be cool for other things in the MCU to acknowledge the events going on in this show.
Yeah, they've said it was because of how far in advance the movies are written, but
I definitely
you
get
can
that.
Change scripts on a dime, like especially when it's something small.
Like, it would be neat, like, in Daredevil, multiple times in both seasons, you see there's a specific famous newspaper that's framed on multiple, like, reporters' walls of Battle of New York. Like, it would be cool in one of the upcoming MCU movies to see, like, a newspaper with a Quake headline or something. And, like, if they could get it interconnected, like I said, I don't really want to see the Avengers on this show, but it would be cool if Coulson could sort of obviously still be on the show, but take on a role similar to what he had before in the movies as a cameo-ish character.
Yeah.
And sort of bridge it to not only have cool connections for people that watch both, but to draw people back to the show. And then you could potentially do stuff with... I'd love for them to find out how far Coulson's come and sort of bridge it, but not make it overly, you know, crossing over all the time. But putting Coulson in there wouldn't be confusing the casuals because they know who he is. And it could be a cool little bridge. And yeah, I think it would be cool. Like, I wouldn't want to... I don't really care about seeing Iron Man show up in S.H.I.E.L.D., but it would be cool if they bridged Coulson over to see Coulson again in the movies and then possibly see Daisy at some point in one of the movies, even if it was for a small cameo. And that's why I was... part of me still hopes that the Inhumans movie is a thing, because I think that could be a really big opportunity for a really cool cross between the shows. Like, there's a bunch of logistics of it, like we mentioned with the production, and also... trying not to make it so that somebody has to really see all of the Inhuman stuff to get something that shows up, but they can do it. They're doing some really cool stuff. And it's like one of the only things I've ever seen have something like that, where you have a show in the continuity of this movie universe that's happening. And S.H.I.E.L.D.'s the one of, you know, instead of the Netflix shows, would be the one to do it. So I definitely hope they do more stuff in the future. But, like, the constant, like, call the Avengers shit is annoying, because that's just not what the show is about.
Agreed.
Like, there's so many people in the world. Everyone's story is about their own story. It's like, It's a different situation in wanting them to sort of acknowledge the shared universe than it is why aren't they calling Tony Stark. Like, how boring would Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. be if every episode was, let's call an Avenger to wipe up our plot in 4 minutes? And I'm going to mention, I like a broken record with this because I mentioned it on Twitter a bunch of times, but there's this really cool thing that Joss Whedon talked about where there's an episode of Buffy where they focus on Xander, one of the secondary characters. He's a main character, but secondary. And the whole plot of the episode is you're focusing on him, and he saves the school from being blown up. But, like, in the background is Buffy and everyone else saving the world from an apocalyptic situation. And it's kind of funny, because we're focusing on Xander, but in the background, like, shit's getting real. And Joss Whedon's show said that this is what the show is. And I feel like this finale in particular, like, exemplified that, whereas like everyone's staring at the Avengers, but like the S.H.I.E.L.D. agents just saved the world and nobody knows about it in the background, and I think that's really cool. And they didn't need the Avengers, they just needed Lincoln to fucking kamikaze that shit. Mac with a shotgun axe and Coulson with his little iPad hand, and you're done. Boom. It was good, and I'm looking forward to more next season. Oh, I guess it's a good place to bring it up that I sort of joked about it, but Bobby and Hunter's spinoff didn't get picked up. which, it's kind of disappointing because of the way they left them, but I wasn't 100% as interested in seeing the show as I was enjoying them on the show, so I kind of hope they come back.
Yeah, I kind of hope now that with, like, whatever circumstance they're currently in, be it with S.H.I.E.L.D. being in the light again, or S.H.I.E.L.D. not even existing, and it's all ATCU, or whatever they're doing, that it gives them a second chance.
Yeah, I was kind of thinking maybe that obviously, like, the flash-forward stuff changed things a little bit before, or could have changed things, but before I watched the finale, I was thinking that maybe because of, like, how Coulson and everyone saved the world from Hive, that maybe Talbot owed him a favor and, like, somehow gets them pardoned or figures out how to get them so they don't have to be in hiding or whatever they're doing. Because it's a pretty easy fix. Like, I think part of me thinks it would have been cool to maybe have the Most Wanted be, like, a miniseries that aired over the summer. And then, like... they couldn't do it this summer, which would be kind of annoying, but like, or just a mini series that sort of had their own story about being on the run that led back to them being able to rejoin S.H.I.E.L.D. just to get something out of it. Because I kind of liked the concept, but like I said, at the same time, I really enjoyed having them interact with the cast, so I hope they come back next year. And Agent Carter also got canceled. Which is kind of unfortunate just because we never got to see S.H.I.E.L.D. be built.
Yeah, I'm hoping it, like, gets another season on Netflix or something eventually.
Yeah.
Just because I want to see that bridge between the SSR and S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
Being formed. More than anything, like, the fucking the one guy got shot at the end of season 2 or whatever. Like, more than anything with that, I just want to see the bridge between the SSR and S.H.I.E.L.D. being formed.
Yeah. Because we talked about it when we talked about Agent Carter, but there was things I liked about season 2, but it felt like since they got that gift of season 2, it felt like kind of a waste of time in a lot of ways, because I really liked season 1, and I thought it was kind of important for showing what the SSR and stuff was like before S.H.I.E.L.D., and also important for Peggy, because a lot of it was about her moving past Steve. Yeah. And so I thought that was, like, an important season, and I thought that if they could have gotten a second season and done the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff, it would have been perfect. But I don't think the Netflix thing is too far-fetched of a dream, given that they have the other Netflix shows, and there's, like, a huge, like, cult following for that. And even if it was just one more season, I would be happy. Like, because even though I wasn't a hugest fan of season 2, like, I wanted to see them again and basically see Jarvis again. I still want him to just have a web miniseries where he just goes on random adventures. But yeah, that happened. I think that's it for shows. Yeah, because new Legends isn't started yet, and you're not caught up on Game of Thrones. Way not caught up. And like next week's gonna be our last big week of discussion because it's all the finales. And so God only knows what summer has in store for us.
The one grateful thing was that S.H.I.E.L.D. ended this week.
So that wasn't like everything at once?
Otherwise we would have four finales to talk about next week.
Yeah, and then like it would give us like less to talk about on the subsequent weeks. And there's going to be a new Digimon TV show? Digimon Universe. That's cool. So, it'll last a year and then go away for 3 years again.
Next week is the last episode of the podcast.
Because this Toku podcast is ending because the CW lineup's going on hiatus. That defines the show.
We'll be here weekly with half-hour episodes of the one-ups, and that's it.
And most of that half hour is just Kevin. Brian and I will list off a few things we did that week, and then Kevin will talk about his life for like 25 minutes. Okay, so now it's time for
Tweet Tweet Motherfucker Zoom Edition.
That's all you got on me. I don't got the energy.
Energy. Anyway. Okay, so two questions, since there's two of us, as predicted. Okay, first off is from Kieran Foster, which is, we're coming back to Pokemon now. What kinds of Pokemon do you want to see in Sun and Moon? Creatures or a new type? I picked this question because I want to talk about Pokemon more, but because I was actually thinking about this the other day, and I think we already talked about how I'd love to see more new Pokemon than we got with Kalos, which is obvious. But regardless of whether or not we continue Megas or do a new evolution or both, I really would like to see at least a small little handful of regular evolutions of Pokemon that already exist. Because I've been watching Chugga's LP of Platinum, and I was thinking about how many cool different evolutions we got for existing Pokemon in that game. And it's not only cool to see, hey, this is what they evolve into, but it can often improve the Pokemon in the game. So I hope we get some new regular evolutions in addition to possible new Mega Evolutions or new Method Evolutions. Because I think, wasn't the only regular new evolution in Kalos Eevees?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope we get more of those. Like, I don't want the whole decks to be cluttered with Megas and news and existing evolutions of Pokemon, because I want more, like, outright new Pokemon. But it would be cool to get a little handful of regular evolutions of existing Pokemon, because those are always fun.
Yeah, because I remember when that happened during Diamond and Pearl, and it was just so cool to see these new evolutions of all these old Pokemon, and, like, new pre-evolutions of certain Pokemon in case of some of the babies. And it was not only nice to see the new Pokemon in general, but just to see these like new forms or new looks to some of your old favorites was a nice little feeling too. So
yeah, like I was gonna say, I'd even like to see some baby Pokemon, even though they're not as useful in the game. It's like it's cool to see these adorable little versions of people before they grew up. So like, I hope we get some of that, because we really haven't gotten that since Diamond and Pearl, because Unova was all new, and then we just got Eevee's evolution in this game.
Yeah.
It's quite a while ago. Alright. What else would you like to see?
I would be okay with only, like, one new Eevee type, just because Sylveon didn't have a buddy, and I'm still kind of bothered about that. Because it's like a Pringle, you can't just have one. So I'm hoping we get one more to kind of balance out Sylveon, but more interesting dual types I would like to see. Some combinations that we haven't really had in a while, or don't have a lot of, or haven't had at all. Like Volcanion's a step in the right direction in Gen 6 with the water-fire, which I think is just an absolutely fascinating type combination. For battling and stuff. And if Litten doesn't evolve into a tiger, I send it back. Like, I know it's not going to match, like, the colors of a tiger, but for Pokemon, I don't really care too much about colors. But we need a tiger. We don't have a tiger Pokemon, and it bothers the piss out of me, because I love tigers. They're great.
It does seem crazy.
We have Raikou, and that's the closest we got, and Raikou's a fucking saber-tooth tiger thing. You don't count.
Like, it does seem crazy when you think about it, like, if we were just one or two gens in, but we're coming up on seven generations in with 700-plus Pokemon, and tiger is such a one of the more recognizable and, like, famous animals, if that's the right way to say it. Like, in terms of animals like kids and adults and everyone likes or can name, it's, like, one of the most, you know, popular. And it just it is kind of crazy when you think about it, considering, like, how many other Pokemon have, like, multiple.
It took us a while to finally get, like, a good, legitimate lion, so.
Yeah. Well, it's just weird, because, like, of all the, there's certain Pokemon that, like, so many cats and, like, all these other Pokemon that have almost a new one in every single generation, and then doing the obscure stuff like keys and ice cream and eggs and all that stuff, and it's just funny that, like, they go to that first, which I don't really have a problem with those Pokemon. Like, I don't know why there's, like, a war on Vanillite all the time, but
war on Trubbish.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, like, funny logic wise to go for that stuff first. Like, should we do another Tyrogre Pokemon? No, let's do something different. Looks at garbage can. I have an idea. I'm trying to think if there's anything else, like, I want to see. Because, like, that was the main thing I was thinking about, was, like, the proper evolutions of people.
You know who needs an evolution? Girafarig.
I always forget. He's one of those Pokemon I always forget about. What if he gets a tiny baby, adorable pre-evolution, and then a really badass second evolution?
Like, he could have, like, this, like, giant ass giraffe with, like, a demon tail, and it'd be fabulous.
That would be pretty badass. I feel like Dunsparce needs an evolution too. Just because he kind of like has the setup to be kind of neat, but he's not very good, and also he's, like, also one of those you sort of forget about. What was I just thinking of? Damn it, I lost it. It's gone. I don't know what happened. You know what they should do is do some sort of crazy-ass retcon where all of a sudden Lovedisc does evolve into Alola or whatever the hell it's called.
Please. We don't need we don't need two fucking heart-shaped fish Pokemon. We didn't even need one in the first place, and now we got two of them.
It does seem really related. Funny, like, I get the concept of Unova, but it is funny. Like, just do some sort of, like, weird canon write-in where that all of a sudden happens.
And Bouffalant should be an evolution of Tauros.
You just have to find the evolution item that's, like, a wig, like a disco wig, yeah, and you trade it. It evolves into Bouffalant. Exactly. Boom. Done.
You have to trade him with the held item, the Bouffafro.
Perfect. Why didn't it just happen?
I wrote your game for you, Game Freak.
I want to see, unless, like, there's something amongst the quote-unquote secret legendaries I'm missing, I want to see a legendary trio again.
Yeah.
Because, like, it's really funny, like, it was, like, two extremes. Like, Unova had too many legendary Pokemon, but Kalos had, like, too little. And, like, I want to see a balance. Like, I don't really want to see it flooded, but I like to see, you know, just at least a trio. That's really all I need. The trio, and then you have the two mascots and their third counterpart, and I'm happy. And then whatever little event guys you want to drag on later. But, like, it seemed kind of weird to break that tradition. I don't think I want to see a new type. I think I'm good for now.
No, I'm good on types. I don't need a new type. We just got fairy. We're good for a while.
Yeah. If we ever do that, I want it to be, like, a long time from now, like, almost as long as it was between the last time we got a type, because it throws you off when you're going back and playing, and then I sit here and think
Meryl's fairy, and it's not, and
It's like, the worst is still when you play Gen 1, and you're like, oh, he's got a Magnemite, I'm gonna switch out to Charizard, and he's fucked. Like, wait, it doesn't work because he's not a steel type?
He's still fucked, but for different reasons.
Yeah, it's just funny. It's like, I'm gonna melt his steel. I'm like, oh wait. And then it's, like, really funny because you're essentially working on the logic of, hey, he looks like he'll melt.
Um,
Okay, so, are we ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Okay. Second question is actually a really interesting one from Steven Wasauki? If I've said it wrong, I'm sorry.
Wasaki.
I know Wasabi. There we go. Thank you, Brian. No. it is essentially wanting us to play a version of the game like Fuck, Marry, Kill, but instead it's keep, rewrite, remove from history for the following shows, Kamen Rider Double, Kamen Rider O's, and Kamen Rider Gaim. I really like this question. We might end up using this later for like a potential reoccurring thing. Yeah, just good question. This is a hard one because I like all three of these series. I have to go with Keep Gaim because Gaim. But, like, the other two are hard to do. I feel like... Because either way, they're both changed, because either they don't exist anymore or it's changed. But I guess I would go with... I think with my original thing I was thinking before we started, which is Rewrite O's, just because it is probably the weakest of the three story-wise, and also I think there's some cool ideas, more so with the costumes and concepts. And unfortunately, because of all this, Double no longer exists. What's the Double? Why is this title called Double or Nothing? I don't know.
I'm with you on the choices. Gaim is precious and amazing, and this should be kept forever. But then you get O's and Double, and I love both of those series to pieces, for different reasons. I think ultimately I like O's more, so O's would be my rewrite because O's had a lot of shaky moments. It needs rewrites, that's for sure. But yeah. The problem with removing Double from existence is Double started like most of current Riders' trends. So if Wait, you remove... What?
That's not a bad thing, then.
I know it's not a bad thing, but it would essentially rewrite everything. Getting rid of Double is rewriting everything.
Damn. I was just thinking about it in the context of the show on its own.
Yeah, with that in mind, like, my points still stand. I would probably get rid of Double, rewrite O's, and keep Gaim, but, like, in a context of, like, changing history, like, if you get rid of Double, like, the entire legacy of, like, newer Kamen Rider changes completely, and I want to see what that would look like.
I would hope that it wouldn't change Gaim because Gaim was so different than the others, but then it might change it because they did Gaim in response to trying to less be formulaic, and then they're like, fuck it, let's go back to being formulaic.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I didn't even think about that. Like, I wasn't thinking of, like, the universe rippling effects of it.
Am I supposed to think of universe rippling? I don't know the rules of this game.
Like, I like that idea, though, as an aspect of it, because I didn't even think about that part of the discussion. I was just thinking about how difficult it is when you pick three series we're fond of on one level or another and having to get rid of them and whatnot.
But I love this list concept for like, a game, or not really a segment, but a reoccurring bit.
Yeah, it could be kind of cool to do something every now and then with it, for sure.
And then we can get suggestions from people on the three topics.
Yeah, if you want to send in your TTMF question as one of those, I would not be mad at that.
Yeah.
Because it gives us a good one to discuss. Okay. Yeah, that's it for TTMF. Like I just said, you can send in those type of questions or any other type of questions like usual. But like that was just a really... I mean, obviously the Fuck, Marry, Kill is an old question, but it's never been asked in that format before to us. I don't even think we've ever gotten a Fuck, Marry, Kill question, so... Now those are coming in.
It's been a while. But we have gotten them, so I think, but it's been a while.
Maybe. But, I mean, it's just nice to see something sort of different that makes you think about things differently. All right. So now it's time for...
Final thingies, MP3.
Think about it. Final thingies!
N3P. It's okay, I forgot the news didn't have a jingle.
So now it's time for... Wait, that doesn't have a jingle.
News! Like, just awkwardly. But,
now
yeah.
It's time for the nudes.
Final thingies was everything I just said, like usual. It's basically like the version of me accidentally saying, you too before the guy said, have a good day. It's basically that.
Basically. I'm so tired. But they take me away.
But they got to... Wait. Mick. There, that's how you end it. N3P. It's okay, I forgot the news didn't have a jingle.
So now it's time for... Wait, wait, that doesn't have a jingle.
News! Like, just awkwardly. But,
now
yeah.
It's time for the news!
Final thingies was everything I just said, like usual. It's basically like the version of me accidentally saying, you too, before the guy said, have a good day. It's basically that.
Basically. I'm so tired.
But they
take me away.
But they got to... Wait. Mick. There, that's how you end it. It is funny the way... Like, that definitely differentiates the way he does a performance of Schofield versus... kind